much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, friends! I'm thinking about all the different ways that we can say hello. Like, hi, or how are you today? Let's say hello to everyone in Gabaland.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day, and that did, and they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
Your movements are slower. Your responses are slower. There's something, there's a dullness about you.
And now.
You guys won an award for your show? Really? Have they listened to you at all?
Our feature presentation.
Is he going to tell me when to go, or how does that work? Does he just say go? Does he say 3, 2, 1?
Your feature presentation, I think, is that's your open. And that's where you start.
Yeah, right, yeah. Into the thing. Where the gold.
Where the gold is.
Yeah. Hi. Uh-oh, we got to retrain Kevin again. He goes away for a few days. This is what always happens.
What?
I can't hear. My headphones are turned down.
Oh, help him out, Bear Bug.
Right. It's over here.
Did you write down the directions so you remembered where you worked when you got in the car today?
I just drove here automatically, which is odd because most days I do have to use my direction finder.
Right, exactly. So. Well, welcome back to the Monkey. How was vacation?
It was great.
It was a staycation for you, as they say these days, right?
No one says that, first of all.
Well, unfortunately, they do.
Yeah, I didn't go out of town, but just had a great time. Spent some time with my wife, spent some time seeing movies, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody, and we might have to talk about this later, but I did have somebody look at me and go, "You're at the movies by yourself." I was like,
well, what's
yes.
wrong with that?
I know, that's what I said. I was like, yes. The way they, you know, the way she poses the question was like, what a loser.
Oh, God.
I know.
People do that all the time.
Well, that's what I tried to tell her. And then I realized I was yelling at the person behind the counter who didn't care.
That's who said it to you?
Yeah.
Well,
she's
wrong. She's just wrong.
But the problem is that, you know, most of the movies I want to go see, I can't find anyone to go see with. Because I don't have great movie taste. So there's
that. According to her, then, you should stay home.
Yeah.
Right. Although we're getting into the time of year where it's hard to find a bad movie.
It is. I know.
Every weekend there's great movies coming out.
It is.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. Here's an interesting article in Cracked Magazine, which, by the way, they have I don't see the physical magazine, but they have a great website, Cracked. And they did an article, and I'll just give you two of them. They list 7 of the worst sports achievements of all time. These are sports achievements that are so bad. They're such exercises in futility that the records will never be broken. For instance,
but they are records. They are something that no one's ever done before. Okay.
Yes, they are records. I mean, just as an example, this isn't one of the two, but just to throw it out there, for instance, you know, Brett Favre, no one will ever break his records for the most fumbles ever, the most interceptions ever, losing the most postseason games. I mean, those are records because he played so long. It's unlikely that anyone's ever going
to
break those records.
And nobody wants to.
Nobody wants to. Yeah, those are the kind of records you don't want. Here's 2 that I thought were really interesting, though. This guy retired from baseball, Kevin, in 1918, and he will forever be in the record books for being hit by the most pitches.
All right.
His name is Huey Jennings. By the way, you played some baseball coming up. You know how bad it hurts when you get hit by a pitch.
Oh, man, does it hurt.
In Little League,
we had this giant, this monster of a guy to us. He was a monster, and he threw the ball harder than anybody else. And the first pitch he threw, and it hit me right in the middle of the back.
Oh,
I didn't move back. I didn't move back or forward. I just turned my back to it and hit me right in the back. And I was scared to death of that guy for the rest of the time.
And I don't know how fast they're throwing in Little League or whatever you were playing. But imagine what it's like to be hit by a major league fastball.
Yeah.
You know, that's 90 miles an hour. Well, Mr. Jennings got hit by 287 pitches during his career.
Is that a specialty? Did they go, we need a guy on base? Go out and...
You feel less pain than most?
He hangs over the plate or something?
In one season, he got hit by 51 balls, as a matter of fact. One game, he got hit in the head in the 3rd inning, stayed in the game, and after the game, fell into a 3-day coma.
Wow, Huey
Jennings,
a stud,
is a badass. I don't want to get hit, but I don't think I'd ever forget it if I got hit by a pitch once.
Yeah.
This guy got hit 287 times.
And in the pros, I don't know if it's the same in 1918, but in the pros, they figure if you get hit, it's on purpose because the pitchers have so much control.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's rare to see somebody accidentally get hit anymore. And here's one I think you may even be able to guess. He is a retired NBA star who has the most technical fouls in the history of the game. 304, including 41 in a single season.
If you 41 tees in a single season.
And if you need a hint, if this may jog your memory, every single time he got a foul, he complained to the refs as if he'd never gotten a foul in his life before. He was one of those guys who just, his head looked like it was going to explode when the refs would call on him. And the answer you're looking for is Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, sure.
Rasheed Wallace. I mean, sure. They instituted rule after rule after rule because whatever they did to him, it was never enough to stop him from causing fouls and then also from the theatrics of what would happen afterwards.
Yeah, he was a good player, but he was also like, I don't know, he was pretty street still. Mm-hmm. So his temper was just out of control. So when you took Rasheed Wallace, you knew. When you got Sheed, you got all that stuff that came with him.
Yep, he one time, and I don't remember the specifics of this, got kicked out of a game for looking at a ref wrong. So I don't know if at a certain point the referees were just done with his nonsense, but I think that's hilarious. 304 technical fouls. Anyway, you can find the whole list at cracked.com. There's some pretty interesting stuff, including the boxer who has the record for losing the most fights. Another dude you don't want to be.
Oh, fantastic. That's the guy that just kept getting in there. He didn't care. Probably was taking dives.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The show has fallen apart without you. Every single person here besides you is a complete moron.
Thank you. It's never been said in the history of the show about me. Thank you. Bean, you want to tell us what it is? I have some of the stuff here, but I'm not sure where it came from.
All right. What's coming up on today's program? We're going to talk about the, I think, bad idea to remake Scarface. Now, isn't Scarface one of those classic movies that doesn't need to ever be revisited?
Yeah, but what's the downside of them remaking it?
Well, just hurting my heart, I think, is the downside of them remaking it.
All right.
Now, before anyone calls or tweets or texts or emails, I understand that the Al Pacino version of Scarface is also a remake. I get that. But now
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
But it's also considered the classic, so.
Yes. Yeah. Now it's been done. Yeah. Now it's been done. But I mean, you know, we're living in an age where there's Footloose and there's Dirty Dancing and there's, you know, they're remaking them all. But we'll discuss.
Starring Ashton Kutcher?
Scarface? Also, the beautiful Kat Dennings is going to be on the program today. Right. Kevin, you get a chance to watch your new show, Two Broke Girls, last Monday night.
Two Broke Girls, One Cup? No, I did not.
Just Two Broke Girls. No cups.
No, I didn't see that.
She's going to join us today. She, of course, was in the Thor movie. She's also Nora from Nick and Nora. I love her so much, so we'll talk to her on the program. Andrew Siciliano stops by today with a recap of an unbelievable football weekend once again. How about those Buffalo Bills, by the way?
How about those Bills?
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is on the program today. The beautiful actress Judy Greer is in studio. She's in that amazing-looking George Clooney movie, The Descendants, the one where his wife goes into a coma, I think. She gets an accident, goes into a coma. Or does she die, Lisa? And then he finds out that she's been having an affair with him, with somebody.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it.
So then my God, it looks so good.
And he gives her a pillow treatment?
And she's also, speaking of Ashton Kutcher, she's also the woman that's breaking up with Ashton Kutcher on Two and a Half Men. She's going to be a regular on that series now, too.
Very cool.
So she's got a lot going on. We have two hilarious star injuries, movie star injuries, people who got hurt doing ridiculous things. The type of injuries that I get, I'm the only guy who gets hurt walking, okay?
But you hurt like that a lot. That's the difference, yeah.
Yes, we're going to talk. We're going to tell you those stories and find out, because it's been a long time since we've done the embarrassing ways that you injured yourself. So I think it's time to revisit that. So all of that. We also got Kevin and Bean Citizens of the Day for you today. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, too. And that's going to get us started right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's kind of sad. Actually, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin got himself to work here today, but now he has to hold up photographs of all the people on the show so he knows who's who. I mean, that just—it just seems like in a week you shouldn't forget people's faces.
Are too much to ask.
He's got it written on his forearm.
That's a tattoo.
Girl, Lisa. It's all listed.
It's a tattoo.
Right.
Oh, it's a tattoo. Yeah. Oh, well, that'll help.
Wow. It's gonna suck for you when you go work for KBIG and you gotta put a new tattoo up. Ralph, Kevin, Ralph. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was lovely. Very busy.
I know you don't have time to recap the whole thing, but what's the essence? I've been dying to talk to you about how John Lovett spent the Charlie Sheen roast at Charlie's house. Was it a good time?
He said that he was surprised at what a low-key event it was. He said there were no drugs, no porn stars, no...
How disappointing.
I know. I said, this is the worst story ever. You went to Charlie Sheen's house to watch the John was on, if you saw the roast on Comedy Central, he was one of the guys on the dais. So Charlie invited everybody from the dais up to his house to watch the broadcast and also watch the premiere of Two and a Half Men. And he said it was a very low-key event. They were barbecuing and stuff, a lot of people at the house. But he said it was awkward for everyone, for Charlie to be watching Two and a Half Men with his replacement.
Yeah,
and no one really knew how to react.
That's
especially
weird.
With the funeral and all that other stuff. So he said it was a little weird. At one point, but not nearly as adventurous as you would think. Charlie apparently has cleaned up his act.
There's only
for the time
one
being.
Reason you go to Charlie Sheen's
right.
house.
Yeah.
Well,
be a two,
if you want to, right?
If you want to count drugs, yeah.
Two.
All right, well, good times. Well, I'm definitely going to skip that podcast then, but thank you for the recap.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of details, sadly. I kept asking. I said, so what about the blow and the hookers, you know, over and over again? He's like, Charlie didn't do any blow. Me, however.
He was a pussy.
Oh, come on. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Second week in a row, The Lion King in 3D. A movie from, I don't know,
20 years ago.
Mid-90s, 20 years ago?
I think
ago?
It was early 90s, maybe. I don't know. Too long ago to be number one for 2 weeks.
Re-released, made another $22 million. Beat the new Brad Pitt movie Moneyball by $2 million. That came in at number two with $20.6 million. Another movie in its debut did very well for itself, Dolphin Tale. Morgan Freeman buying a dolphin a new tail with the Visa came in at number three. Abduction with Taylor Lautner.
I'm an action hero. I'm going to get you guys. You won't get me first.
Not came, if I find you first.
Came in at number four. I wish he talked that way. Then that movie would be believable because...
Not if I find you first.
Sounds like an accountant.
Alfred Molina, we're going to find you.
Not if I find you first. And you're in trouble. I've got a gun.
$11.2 million made it number four. Killer Elite. Top five. All debuting movies except for Lion King. Killer Elite was fifth with $9.5 million. Then Contagion, Drive, The Help, Straw Dogs, and I Don't Know How She Does It. Starring Sarah Jessica Parker. I've been trying to keep everybody up to date on the new premieres now that we're back in the swing of television season. Things that are coming back, some of your favorites, and some brand new shows you may want to check out. Tonight's premiere, the biggest one, I think, the one I'm most looking forward to, is Terra Nova.
Oh,
new
yeah.
show on Fox. Time travel, going back in time to the time of the dinosaurs to survive on the planet Earth. We talked to the star Jason O'Mara last week, and Stephen Lang's also in this movie, the TV show, rather. It looks great. It's a two-hour premiere, so buckle up.
I almost feel obligated to watch now that I know it costs $4 million an episode. I feel like
really?
It would be offensive for me to not at least try it out.
Wouldn't you watch anyway?
No, this does look good. It's just
what?
That's crazy money for TV.
He said doesn't look good?
He said, no.
No, I said, it looks good. I said, no, okay. This does look good.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, it looks really, really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about
it. But on top of that, it's so expensive, I feel like everybody ought to at least give it a shot.
Absolutely. Mike and Molly comes back tonight with Emmy Award-winning Melissa McCarthy, Gossip Girl, and Heart of Dixie over there in the CW. So you may want to check those out. We were talking about movies just a minute ago, and good news for people like myself who were looking forward to that Lone Ranger movie with Johnny Depp. Walt Disney has decided they're putting it back on its slate.
It's been greenlit.
They did cancel it when the budget was $250 million. Disney decided they just couldn't spend that kind of money on an overpriced Western. However, all the parties involved, Johnny Depp and the producer Jerry Bruckheimer and the director Gore Verbinski, who of course worked with Johnny on the Pirates movies, they all sat down with Disney, and they did some cutting and slashing and moving of numbers, and they came out with a budget of $215 million. And Disney said, well, we can't resist that.
Only that?
For $215, sure, here you go. Here's a check. Go make your movie. But $250 was crazy. So it looks like it's back in business.
I still don't see what they're going to spend that money on unless George Lucas could put some aliens in it, or every horse in the movie is a Triple Crown winner. How are they spending that much money on a Western?
Transforming robot horses. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Horses turn into vans and stuff. It's awesome. Star Wars geeks, they did their job. Did you pick up a copy of Star Wars Blu-ray last week, Bean, when it came out?
What was that?
Why were those people cheering?
They're very happy about that Star Wars.
Kevin is Blue back, red. Everybody. Kevin is back. Woo!
Surprisingly, I did not.
The Complete Saga, it's being called, the Star Wars on Blu-ray. More than a million copies have been snapped up already worldwide.
And what, it's like $80 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's a pretty high-end item. More than half of them in North America alone. But Lucas, once again, ka-ching.
Yeah.
Cashes in for himself. And I guess we have to turn the relationship meter on Kat Von D and Jesse James back to the off position. Last week, Kat vented on her Facebook page that she's not in a relationship, apologized for any confusion, and there's no truth to the stories that she's moving to Texas. She plans to stay put, she says, at the High Voltage Tattoo Shop, the one she has here in Los Angeles. That, of course, was the backdrop to L.A. Inc. for seasons, and now that show is over, but she's going to stay in the business. She's staying here in L.A., and she is not in a relationship. She wants everyone to know.
All right.
Weren't they in love again and getting married again?
Yes, very much so.
I'm just confused.
She's all in or all out. It seems like she's
apparently.
That type.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Olivia Newton-John. Remember her from Grease? And more importantly, Xanadu, mother effers. Xanadu! Xanadu, Xanadu, now we are here in Xanadu. 58 years old today. You are on fire. You are on fire today, Kevin.
That could be cleaner.
No, it's perfect.
Can you record that from across the room on your cell phone?
Is that someone flushing a toilet? Is that Darth Vader flushing a toilet? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this what it's supposed to be?
No!
Was a sound like that?
Yes. No, but you don't have the toilet flushing sound effect at the end, Bean.
Let's compare them, all right? Here's mine. All right, yours.
All right. Mine's already gone.
All here right.
No!
No comparison. Kevin wins.
I think so.
Like crisp. That sounds like it came from a Blu-ray. That's how high quality that is.
If Kevin can find the Britney Spears hut drop, he'll have hit the trifecta in the showbiz report.
Actress Linda Hamilton, of course, from Terminator's 50 years old today. Jim Caviezel, you know him as Jesus Christ in The Passion of, but he's also in that brand new show, Person of Interest.
Which is great, by the way. Person of Interest, I love it.
I've got a TiVo, but I have yet to watch it.
Yeah. Loved it.
He is 38 years old today. Did you watch Pan Am last night?
No. Whew. Taped it.
Really?
It's fine, but between Pan Am and the Playboy Club, people in Hollywood have no idea why people like Mad Men. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
One of the stewardesses is a secret agent.
Oh,
I was like, really? Really? You want it? The whole point of the show is to show us what life was like in the early 60s on Pan Am, and one of the stewardesses is a secret agent. You're missing the point of what makes Mad Men work.
You just saved me an hour of my day. Thank you, Ralph.
I'm sure you guys talked about this last week, too, but I saw about 10 minutes of Charlie's Angels.
You're a better man than me.
Thank you.
No, God. I did, too, just for the fun of it.
Don't have to
it
keep up on
so
that one.
It was so awful.
I just watched the end because I heard so much about it, so I had to watch the end where the girl says, I never thought my heart could hurt this much.
Yes!
I just wanted to see some of the great acting that they had to offer at the end of that.
They're
episode.
Hot, but it sounded out.
Yeah. Kevin, before it aired, we started an office pool on how long it would last.
Sweet.
I think I was at 4 episodes.
I said a whole season. I may have to take that back. I didn't think it could be that bad. How hard is that formula?
Right. They're super attractive.
Super hot chicks have some fun running around with guns solving crimes. I mean, it's not brain surgery, although they tried to treat it as such.
Yeah.
It was so awful, and they took themselves so seriously. There was no fun to be had in that program whatsoever.
Yeah, that was the beauty of the movies is they knew it was fun.
Right.
And they enjoyed it and they had a good time. You could see it and that translated to the audience. But apparently that's not the case.
I think Darth lost his cell phone in the toilet. That's why he's so upset. Serena Williams is 30 years old today. And Christina Milian, singer, is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
New album's great, isn't it?
Huh?
Red Hot Chili Peppers on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Silver Sun pickups, also Foo Fighters and Johnny Cash, ? All coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, I have to start this story by telling you animal lovers that the duck is fine.
Okay. Thank you, because I need to know that right off the bat.
The duck is not injured.
Okay.
Which is part of the appeal for this story. In Santa Cruz, authorities were called to a business for reports of an intoxicated woman abusing a duck.
Oh,
dear God.
So the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Office, they received a call. It was 4 p.m. She was at a business. It doesn't say what business, but it was 4 p.m. And she was drunk, and she was trying to strangle the duck and throwing it and stuff. And again, when they checked the duck afterwards, no sign of abuse or injury or anything. So really, how bad is this woman at what she's doing? And what could the duck have done?
How mad could you be at a duck?
I mean, really, the duck just sits there. That's what a duck does. Mm-hmm.
And I'm dying to know why there was a duck.
I don't know.
Why was there a duck at whatever business she was at?
I don't know. The authorities were called. She did have a duck. And they said they were unable to find out whether the duck was her pet or she just found the duck and why she was so angry at that duck. Hmm. But she was throwing it around and people were like, hey, lady, I mean, you imagine you're at a business and a woman starts throwing a duck around. You go, it takes your head like 15 minutes to get around. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
So they arrested her and they took the duck into custody and the duck was fine and was, you know, replaced back out in the woods someplace on the lake somewhere, and they put her in jail. What could have gone on?
I don't know.
And how often do you hear me ask more details, please, newspaper man? Come
on. In this particular one, and I did a lot of research. It's not possible to find. I wanted to find, if there was a 911 call or whatever. They called the police.
Sure.
That's it. That's all we know.
Damn.
Is that she was mad at that duck. And you don't hear that every day.
Mm-mm.
And ducks are pretty easy to hurt if you want to, right?
She fails on all levels.
This one comes from Heber City up near Park City. A Park City man accused of leading police on a 30-mile chase. Apparently, sheriff tried to pull him over for speeding. He was going 15 miles over the speed limit, and he took off. And he wouldn't stop, and so they're in a high-speed chase, and it's been going on for a little while. And a short time later, a dispatcher notified the deputy that the driver had called in and said to them that he wasn't going to stop, and she needed to tell the cops to just leave him alone.
How'd that work out for him?
He called them and said, call your guys off because they're really annoying me and I'm not up for it today.
In his mind, did he think that was going to work? Did he think the police were going to go, you know what, since you asked nicely, okay, have
he
a great
said,
day.
Please.
Well,
Jared Rigby, chief of deputy sheriff of the county, said he had a bad morning and wasn't stopping for the cops. It was nothing more than that. Apparently he had broken up with his girlfriend or something. He was upset, but he called the police to tell them that the cop on his tail was super annoying. And if they could stop doing that, he would be happy.
Instead, what happens is they either wait till you run out of gas, or they box you in, or they put tacks in the road.
One way or another.
Oh, is that how they got him?
He took the spikes in the road, and he stopped just short of it. I guess he was fond of his tires. I don't know. He stopped just short of the spikes and then got out and got arrested.
Well, you can't blame a guy for asking, you know?
And this one comes from India. And I'm not familiar with the way their government works in India, but one of India's leading educational institutions, St. Stephen's College, which is a society founded by Congress MP, which is
Member of Parliament.
Okay. Sandeep Dixit has entered the courts.
I'm sorry. What was it? I didn't catch his name. I'm
filing
sorry.
A petition to stop the society from misusing his name.
Oh.
So he's been fighting with them because what he wants this society to be is he wants to help people get in, like through the back door. He wants to raise money, all that kind of stuff. And Sandeep Dixit said, I really want these things to change. And then some of the people in the group said, you know what? We're not going to change it, but we're going to call it the Sandeep Dixit Society after you. And he said, hey, Courts, I don't want this named after me because my name is Sandeep Dixit.
Okay, we got the, we heard what the name is now.
The college wouldn't take it back because they were being babies. And so they it went to court, and they had this big, long, drawn-out court in India about what the name of the group is. To my knowledge, I believe it is still the Sandeep Dixit.
Okay, we hear you. That's fine.
And they have not changed it to this point.
Well, good. So I think leave it right there, then.
Legal battle for Sandeep.
Nope.
Dixit.
Nope. We're fine. We
what?
Got it.
I'm telling you a story from
India.
No,
we heard that. We got the story.
Forgot
we heard
his the name. What
heard
can
the
you
man's
do?
Name. No, we heard.
You forgot
no.
his name?
No. I got it. I got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lisa forgot the name. It's Sandeep Dixit is the guy's name, and he's been fighting for a long time, and those are our citizens of the day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's citizen of the
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about beautiful actress Kat Dennings on the program later on today? Also, Andrew Siciliano will be here to talk about this past weekend at the NFL and actress Judy Greer. That is all coming up. By the way, quite a week for hot chicks on the Kevin and Bean Show. Zooey Deschanel tomorrow. All right.
Nice.
How about that, huh?
She's great.
If we could just get Whitney Cummings on, we'd have the trifecta of my hot TV crushes in the same week. So we're still working on that.
I got a tweet from somebody saying that you were creeping on your
wife. I wasn't creeping on anybody.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't creep on her
at
all.
He's like, you need to be there so you can stop Bean's creeping. I'm like, look, I can't do anything about it even when I'm there.
How dare you? All right, let's turn our attention to movies right now. This is the summer and the year of the remakes, but I think pretty much every year is now the year of the remakes. I mean, all the biggest movies every single year now are remakes and sequels. I mean, that's the world we're living in. It's very tough to get anything original off the ground anymore. But Universal Pictures is surprising a lot of people by announcing that they are going to remake Scarface, which was an early 80s hit that is not one of those movies that came out, people saw, and then forgot about. It is a movie that kind of has never gone away. It's a movie that has remained popular over the last, 30 years.
But I'll bet more, young kids know Say Hello to My Little Friend and would be surprised to know that that came from this movie.
That's true.
Possibly. Possibly so. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to get more people to go see it if you put it in theaters than if you count on people to, watch it on TV or rent it on DVD. That's for sure. But, for all the opinions that fans have about them making another version of the Scarface movie, what must it be like to be the great Al Pacino, the man who starred as Tony Montana in that movie, to see that they're redoing one of his greatest films? We've got Al on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Pacino.
Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
We're good. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to hear it.
So you have heard the news, I'm sure, by now. Nothing you can do about it. You don't own it. But Scarface is being remade by Universal.
Yeah, we've all heard that. And
you upset by that? Or?
Well, I'm not happy.
Okay.
Because Scarface was a film that was very important to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
it was a big hit in the early 80s.
A big hit, as you said.
Right.
In the early 80s.
Just trying to speed you up a little.
And
you don't mind.
I mean, I don't see the reason why they need to remake it.
Well, it is considered a classic.
Yeah.
And
come on now with the classic. So I think they should just leave it alone. It makes me sad.
Sure.
That's all.
Well, we don't want that.
No, I've always given it.
Oh, no.
Oh,
wait a minute. No.
Yeah, that makes me feel better.
That was just your character, the Cuban gangster.
Whatever
was
you need
dealing
to believe,
in coke.
Son, to get you through the morning.
Well, no, I'm just saying you played a coke dealer in the movie, and your life was kind of taken over by the...
That's a wake-up call!
Okay, you don't need to be snorting anything while we're talking to you, Mr. Pacino.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
I'm
well, we could hear you.
Take vitamins.
Up your nose?
Well, that's the easiest
the
way to get it into your
bloodstream. Oh, I see. Vitamins, I see.
Yeah! Come on with the vitamin C!
Now, have you heard anything about the casting? Who might replace
it?
You have?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about casting,
okay.
Yeah.
What's happening?
There's your casting, my friend.
No, what's happening, Al?
There's your casting.
What are you doing?
Hey, Al. Come on. Try to take my movie from me, you pig.
Well, I don't think anyone's... Put
He's
the
taking
gun
this
down.
Seriously.
First, you get the money.
Put the gun down.
Then, you get the power.
Right.
Then, you get the reboot. Hey! Reboot this, you mother plunkers!
Okay. All right. We gotta go.
Say hello to my little Phil. Ah, that's right, my friends. That's right, my friends.
Talking about embarrassing ways you injured yourself, coming up after the top of the hour. You won't believe what happened to two Hollywood stars in the last week. Kind of makes me feel good about the things that I've done over the years.
Oh, if I could remember every single thing that has happened to you, Bean, I'm going to make a list. And I'm gonna
no,
try,
please don't.
I'm going to try and make a list. Bean's one
not
of those
necessary.
Guys that this stuff happens to.
Yes.
Once every couple of months.
Yes.
Not necessary.
So
anyway, we're going to be taking your calls to find out how you got hurt coming up in about 20 minutes. Plus, Ralph has the showbiz beat. Right now, though, let's take a look at the email. We get email all the time from you on many topics that we talk about here on the show. Here's one about a Kevin, you were on vacation last week,
yep.
So you didn't hear the – Ralph brought up a fascinating book that a guy has written where he interviewed – hundreds of women about the reasons that they have sex.
All right.
Now, guys have sex because they can. Women have sex for lots of complicated reasons, including they felt sorry for the guy.
Oh.
Or what were some of the other ones, Lisa, that revenge was a good one?
Revenge
or?
Was, you know, because
money.
A car. Yeah.
A car,
lots of
right.
Of reasons.
And here's an example.
Oh, leave a headache.
Demetria didn't call in, but she sent this email. This is exactly what we're talking about. I had to write after hearing this segment last week. I once had sex with a guy because he was white and he was named David. I was in love with this white guy named David all through junior high and high school, but I never got him. 7 years later, this guy just happened to be in the right place with the right name at the right time and got super lucky, and it was amazing. Great segment, guys.
Wow, that guy must have been thrilled. He must have walked away going, I am the S.
How did that happen right now? Well done. We also had Taylor Lautner on from the film Abduction last week. Of course, you know him. He's the singing dog from the Twilight
the
movies.
Wolf.
I don't think
whatever
he is, does he?
Nobody
thinks.
And Ralph has been doing a very mean impression of Taylor Lautner over the year, thinking he doesn't really have the chops to play an action hero. And this guy named Kevin from Marina Del Rey writes in, hey, stop being so mean to Taylor Lautner. You will see what a great actor he is when the movie he's currently filming comes out. It's a role he is perfect for. It is based on the true life story of a crazy Alabama football fan who sneaks onto the campus of Auburn University and poisons their famous oak tree. Taylor Lautner is playing the tree, so you see, he's going to be great.
Oh, wow. How did he do it?
So now he's piling on, too.
We were talking about Dolphin Tale, the new Disney movie. It looks like a movie for little kids. You know,
Yeah. Let's
be honest. Doesn't really look like it appeals to other people. But I think this email pretty much puts that argument to rest. This email simply says, dolphins are rad. So, thanks for that.
That's the whole email? Dolphins are rad?
That's it. King of Mexico.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks for the email.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I recently went on a 5-day vacation to Southern California to visit my family and catch up with old friends. This email comes from David.
Hey, Bean, just so you know, this is the one I was going to read, too.
Okay, you want to pick it up from here?
Go ahead, because this is funny.
To cap the vacation off, I went to see the Hollywood Babylon show to see Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith. But since Kevin was not there, I had John Lovitz instead. I had a great time. I got very drunk. At the end of the show, I went to get my HBO t-shirt and a Ralph Garman autograph. Well, I was drunk, guys, and I guess my judgment was a bit off because I let it slip to Ralph that I was a fan of his, but I was also a huge Bean fan. And he recognizes now what a huge mistake that was to say in front of Ralph, right? The attached photograph shows what happens after that. He sent along a picture of Ralph punching him in the face, Lisa, for admitting
what?
That he was a Bean fan. I still love Ralph, and I plan to keep the tooth he knocked loose, he says. So,
yeah, listen, he did the right thing.
Oh, man.
Ralph did the right thing. We all do that. We've all been trained to do that. That's just that's the response. So just watch your mouths.
So the lesson learned is if you run into anybody on the show who's not Bean,
right.
Do not admit that you like the Bean part of
just
the
keep
show.
Keep it to yourself.
Brandon writes in, I've been listening to you guys since you were funny. And one thing that has continued to make me laugh on your show among a sea of what happened to the funny is that you play Hollywood spooks. Admittedly, I do not listen as much as I used to for the reasons stated previously, but I haven't noticed you playing it in recent years. Are you kidding me? Halloween spooks is the annual tradition, Brandon. I'm so glad you wrote. I'm so glad you're down with the spooks. It's still just a little bit too early, I'm sorry to say, for our Halloween spooks song. But believe me, we're days away from the start of October, and then as far as I'm concerned, anything goes with Hollywood spooks.
Yep, that'll happen.
And finally, James writes in, and by the way, Kevin, I'm not piling on or anything, but this is one of about 30 emails that we got with the exact same question, which is, hey, I heard Kevin's new Wendy's commercial on the show the other day, but I have to ask, How many hundreds of takes did he need to do it? And when can we hear them?
Loyal listener James.
Dare you.
Well, I think what James is suggesting is in the past when you've been announcing the Grammys or you've been doing other promotional work for the show or just hearing you read in general, I think people know that you're usually not one take Jimmy. You know what I mean? So he's
Why would I be Jimmy?
He's suggesting that the 30 seconds that we heard of the Wendy's commercial probably took 100 hours of Omar's editing.
Omar, here's what I'm proud to say. Omar was rolling the whole time and was saving the outtakes. And at the end of recording the commercials, which I did all at once, he said the words to me, not enough good ones. You know why? Nailed it. Nailed it.
So your story is the way
your story. You can ask Omar. I nailed it. There wasn't enough outtakes to be good.
You claim that you went in there and read the words on the piece of paper in your hand in the correct order to the point where Omar does not have tape left over.
And I did five or six at the same time and nailed
it. I just what?
I would like to believe that.
Nailed it.
Unfortunately, we did go to Omar, and
he actually told me there wasn't enough.
He actually did provide some tape of the outtakes of you trying to do the Wendy's commercial, and this may be a surprise to you as well, but here it is.
Wendy's is proud to introduce Dave's hot and goosey juice burgers. Hot and goosey juice burgers. They're on the grill to take my classic chicken cheeseburger. They made it thicker, and they made it hotter, and they made it thicker. They made it thickier and juicier. They made it hotter and thickier. Made it 100% North beef. 100% American North. 100% American beef. You want to get fancy? You can put crinkle cut pickles on it. Crinkle pickles. Go to yourself, Facebook. /Wendy. /Wendy. Get a number saving coupon. Try Davis Juices Burgers today. Hot and juicy burgers of Dave. Wendy's. You're real in it, Snow.
Stick about your story, are you?
That's good.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, Ralph, before you get into the showbiz beat here, several complaints about me giving Serena Williams a bell. Could we get a ruling now so that we know what we're up to the rest of the day?
I'm not the guy to ask. I don't see it.
M. Scott Green writes in, why do you guys give Serena Williams the bell? She looks like Ving Rhames in drag. I don't think that's fair. I think she's very pretty.
I'm a no-beller there.
You're a no-bell?
I'm a no-beller.
How about you, Kevin?
I think I'm Belle.
I think so. I think she's pretty, too.
I think I'm Belle.
Wow. I mean, she's buff.
Not Venus, though. Definitely no Belle for Venus. But I think Serena's pretty.
I do, too.
Okay. All right. Majority rules. Belle it is.
Hey, wait. The majority's never ruled before when Bean's against it or for it.
Yeah. All right. She is a little burly for me.
All right, I can see that, but
she's burly.
She's burly a woman, you mean? Yeah.
She's burly a woman to me. All right, let's talk about the top. Wait. Before I get to show business news, I forgot. I have passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening.
You just started. How do you wait and you forgot?
I was just about to go into the top 10 movies of the box office, and then it dawned on me I should probably give these away first, get these out of the way.
All right.
So that people can get a chance to win their tickets to the advanced screening of a movie, which initially I was dubious. When I heard the premise of this comedy.
Premise scared you.
And then, by all accounts, it's just been executed to perfection. It's called 50-50.
Yay!
Kids like it.
This is a movie about a writer who was diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer. And with the help of his best friend and his mom and a young therapist at the cancer center, he learns what's important in life. It's a comedy with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen.
Anna Kendrick
also in this movie. I love her.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen did write this. This is based on the true story of what happened with him and his friend and how their friendship was tested and how they got through it when his very good friend, who I believe co-wrote this with him,
oh, fantastic,
did get cancer. So 50-50 is the name of the movie. Been getting great reviews. Everyone's talking about it's It's really sort of a breakthrough performance also for Seth Rogen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, in my opinion, he's always great.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see it before it opens in theaters everywhere, you can go Thursday, September the 29th. First three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our very special advanced screening of 50-50. And keep in mind that the movie is in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 30th. So you get to see it early if you're one of our lucky callers. All right, let's get back to the news. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Inexplicably, 2 weeks in a row, Lion King in 3D, number one at the box office. $22.1 million.
Wow.
It's so popular that Walt Disney has decided to continue its run. And sure, why not? It was supposed to be just out 2 weeks in theater. They're going to
Didn't know that.
Limited release, 3D, 2 weeks, boom, pull it again. But with these kind of numbers, let it roll.
Sure.
It's inexplicable. 1994, we did a little research. That's when that movie first came out.
All right.
Now people are going back in theaters in droves.
Is it not available on DVD? Is that the problem? Because it
not
seems like kids
3D.
Would own this movie.
Not in 3D.
All right. Okay.
You don't get to see Sambo the Lion come out of your arr.
Don't think there's
no.
Sambo. Is there a Sambo?
Kimba?
Something like that.
Linda the lion.
I don't think it's Linda.
I'm Linda. Number two at the box office, Moneyball, $20.6 million made it number two.
That was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Dolphin Tale also did very well for itself, just a hair under Moneyball this weekend, $20.3 million. Abduction was fourth with $11.2 million in its debut, and Killer Elite routed out the top five. Contagion, Drive, The Help, Straw Dogs, and I Don't Know How She Does It was the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Great list from Parade Magazine. They took a poll of Americans who live in these United States of America.
All right. Those kind of Americans.
Not sure if it was the contiguous United States or all of them.
Okay.
But they came up with these numbers when they asked the following question. Who is the most annoying celebrity?
Oh, sweet.
Most annoying celebrity. Fifth, with 5% of the vote, Donald Trump. Donald Trump came in at number five.
See that?
Fourth, with 16% of the vote, Lindsay Lohan.
Just too much, maybe?
I guess.
Too much coverage?
And the fact that she's sort of just a ne'er-do-well, and she won't take care of her court obligations, and she was, you know, imprisoned at home, and she was having all those parties and everything, it just bugs people, I get the sense. Third on the list with 21% of the vote, Schnooki.
Oh.
Schnooki, third, wow. The most annoying celebrity.
Two people are more annoying than Schnooki?
Yeah, you want to take a shot at
wow.
Number two and number one? Who do you think number two is? Who do you think the second most annoying celebrity
actor or
to Americans is? It is an actor.
Actor. Okay.
Actor. 27% of the vote. American.
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, Lisa, is correct.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Well
done, Lisa.
Sure.
And the most annoying celebrity in America, according to Parade Magazine, 29% of the vote went to
Can I guess?
Yes.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
No, not Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
How about Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian is correct.
Really? Oh, I never get it right. Are you kidding me?
For all the money, Bean wins.
Please, he's got the list in front of him. I swear to God, I didn't know.
I didn't know. I was part of the team collating that data.
That was just a guess because, you know, she fits the criteria. She's really annoying and really everywhere in our faces all the time, always.
Pretty hot, though.
I'd like certain parts of her to be in my face all the time.
They made it thicker, they made it hotter, and they made it juicier than ever.
That's right. Crinkle cut pickles. Celebrity birthdays today. Olivia Newton-John is 58 years old. Linda Hamilton turns 50. Jim Caviezel from Passion of the Christ. And the new Persons of Interest, 38 years old. Serena Williams, tennis player, is 30 years old today. You don't have to hit it with such gusto.
Okay. Bell or no bell? Now we're splitting hairs.
Oh, you're the one that invented the tepid bell, by the way.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
And Christina Milian is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actress Kat Dennings joins us on the show coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, is in that Two Broke Girls program on Monday night. By the way, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight because last week, I'm sure all of America watched because it was on right after the Two and a Half Men premiere.
That's mm-hmm.
So,
oh, I see. Yep.
Huge, huge lead-in audience. I don't think that's the case starting tonight, so we'll see how it does. Right now, though, we want to talk about something on the Kevin and Bean Show that comes up about once a year on the program, and that is you can't believe you injured yourself in such a stupid way.
And it happens to everybody. Kevin claims it happens more to me than anybody else.
Oh, it does. I don't know
if that's true.
The stuff that happens once every 10 years to normal people happens to Bean once a month. Maybe not once a month.
True.
Maybe six times a year. Maybe once.
I was walking down the stairs and smashed my head against the wall that's above the stairs. I did knock myself out doing that, and I did it one time. And I can't remember how I did it, but I also hit my head on the garage door one time and got knocked out. I've had concussions both times as a result of that. And I think some of that is that I'm 1,100 feet tall, so I do tend to hit things with my head
and kind of gawky. And DJ Spina Bifida. He also got stuck in a truck window one time, and he
didn't get hurt though.
But we had to literally take the truck window out of the truck so that Bean could stand up and walk around with a truck window around his waist.
I was trying to help a guy out by reaching in because he locked his keys in the car. That was me being a good Samaritan. That wasn't me doing something stupid.
No, it was me trying
to help somebody.
Nope, it's not. This is not you were doing something stupid. It's that you're embarrassed how you got hurt. You did it in an embarrassing way. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. We were at the Super Bowl in Florida. I think it was Miami. At the Super Bowl, we were there. We had tickets to the game. It was game day. It was time to go to the Super Bowl. One of the biggest events in the country.
Yes.
And Bean calls and says, "Hey, I'm in the hospital." And I say, "What are you talking about?" He said, I was putting on my pants and my back went out. I said, "What? Just putting on your pants, your back went out?" He was in so much pain. So I just took it. I went to the hospital. I was like, "I'm not missing the Super Bowl. Sorry, dude." So I took his ticket and I scalped it and gave him the money. But I went because you don't miss the Super Bowl for that.
Of course not.
This was Tampa, by the way, is where it happened. Okay. Wasn't this the Super Bowl where your cousin was playing? Where Jeff Hostetler was playing for the Giants, if I recall correctly.
My cousin that had never spoken to me before and has not spoken to me since.
But you know what it's like when you have a back injury. And I was in a terrible car accident when I was a teenager, and I've had a back injury my whole life. And it doesn't take anything to throw your back out. That's not even – I mean, there's not much you can do about that short of, I don't know, some sort of strengthening exercises that I refuse to do.
Well, what about like the moped? Was it
okay, let's not keep going on with me. Let's move on to other people here.
Let me tell the moped story. This is funny. We were in it wasn't the Bahamas. It was off the East Coast. Bermuda. Yeah, we were in Bermuda, and we got mopeds. And Bean had never ridden one, and he's 6'11" or whatever. And a moped is not for him, but he'd never ridden one, so this guy was going to teach him how to do it. So he gets on the moped, and there's a brick wall that's going down the side of the street. Somehow Bean gets drawn like a magnet over to the brick wall. I don't know how he got over there, but he got too close to get away, but not close enough to stop. So basically, he was just scraping the entire left side of his body. And I think the adrenaline rush made him goose it a little bit so that he just kept going and going. I was like, this is one of the I was literally on the ground laughing, as was the guy from the scooter store. And poor Bean was bleeding like a pig. Oh, it was so funny.
I think I went about 250 miles alongside that brick wall.
Honestly,
until I ran out of gas, by the way.
He couldn't stop.
We're going to go to you, Erica, and you, Tim, in just one second. Please don't hang up. But let me tell you what brought this back to our attention, the embarrassing ways that you got injured. Two things. One, Oscar-winning actress Halle Berry is in Spain filming a movie called Cloud Atlas. Hope the movie is better than the title. She is taking a break from filming when she somehow hurts herself walking and breaks her foot. Now has her foot in a cast, walking. I don't know if she just tripped on a rock or something like that, but she was walking down the street and then ended up breaking her foot.
She wasn't jogging. She wasn't running.
Exactly.
Wow.
She was walking. So that's thing A. Thing B, the beautiful actress Kristen Chenoweth, who, of course, you see on Glee and a million movies. She's a Broadway star. She did an interview recently about how she got injured. And listen to this tape, and I think you'll find it very funny, and you'll also find it very embarrassing that this is what hurt her.
A recent lesson I learned was if you're walking down concrete stairs in slippers that have no tread on the bottom, hold on to the handrail. Otherwise, you'll do the cooter smash, a.k.a. break your coccyx. That's what happened to me.
See, because she's in coccyx. See, you don't expect to get injured walking down the stairs in a pair of slippers. That's, I mean, she wasn't out on a jet ski. She wasn't riding a tiger. She was just walking down the stairs.
Now, does drunk count? Because drunk accounts for a whole group of these kinds of injuries. What? Like, I was running upstairs drunk and had my hands in my coat pocket and tripped and couldn't get my hands out and broke my nose.
But I think that counts.
Do you? Yes, I do.
Yeah, because I think that, because that's embarrassing like, and simple. That you should not get hurt walking upstairs.
Running. I was running. So I had a lot of speed so that when my face broke my fall on the step and my nose was broken.
I want to go to Erica first. She's on line one. I mostly want to go to her first because she was naked when she got hurt. Right. I want to hear this story. Erica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
Hi. Embarrassing ways you hurt yourself.
I was tanning.
Mm-hmm. Tanning. You were tanning.
I was tanning. So okay. I had applied lotion and I was naked. And I'm not trying to be like sexy and cute about this
No,
story.
Go ahead. Take your time.
You say that like it's a negative.
The shame and humiliation I felt. So I just put on my lotion, I laid in bed, and I threw my back out.
Laying in
tanning bed.
Getting in the tanning bed?
Laying down in the tanning bed, completely threw my back out.
Oh my God, so what do you do in that instance? You have to call somebody to come help you, right?
Well, first I waited 15 minutes and tanned.
Sweet, you gotta get the tan.
I gotta get my tan on, right?
Right.
And then I didn't know what to do, so I started to roll myself, kind of like throw my momentum both ways.
It was nice. It was any
myself out of the bed.
So it was anything but call somebody to help because you were naked and you hurt yourself.
Well, I had to crawl to my phone on the floor. Sweet. And I called my best friend. She brought me a robe.
They're like, "You're done. Can you please leave the room?"
She had third-degree burns.
You're done.
Oh,
she
would get man.
And she brought me a Vicodin as well so I could make it out. Okay? Right.
So you were hurting so much you couldn't even get dressed with the clothes that you brought with you, right?
No.
Yeah. Look, I've been there. I threw my back out once getting out of my car and just had to sit there and just weep until somebody came to help me a few years ago. I mean, it hurts so bad you can't move.
You just weeped.
You can't. Well, there's nothing else you can do but cry. That's all there is to it.
You cannot cry. I get the idea. Erica didn't cry.
If it hurts that bad, though, all you just can't. Erica, great call. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
You too.
She was... She's naked, she said.
That's what we need. Let's just change this to people who were naked.
Whatever you were doing when you were naked. All right, Tim, you hang on. Ryan, hang on. Vince, hang on. How did you hurt yourself in an embarrassing way? We want to talk to you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun because it's not about me this time. We're talking about embarrassing ways you injured yourself here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I guess I'm sort of the king of it. But we'll go to your calls in a moment. Jason writes in, when I was 12, my parents decided to take us to the snow. I was so excited. I went into my room to change, and then I opened the door and mooned my brother. As I bent over to moon him, I smashed my face on a metal chair. So instead of going to the snow like we were looking forward to, we ended up in the hospital instead, and I got me some stitches across my eye. Epic fail. Here's one more. Chad writes in from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I dislocated my shoulder shaking a vending machine trying to get the M&Ms that didn't fully rotate out.
Love it.
You're trying to save 50 cents by getting the M&Ms out. You dislocate
your
shoulder.
No, he paid and it didn't quite get out. That's
I'm
not
sure
right.
That's what happened. All right, let's go to Tim now. Line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Embarrassing ways you injured yourself. Hi, Tim, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, well, sadly, I wasn't naked, and surprisingly, I wasn't drunk.
All right.
I was playing miniature golf.
Miniature golf?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise
known as putt-putt.
Yes, putt-putt golf.
All right.
It was glow-in-the-dark putt-putt golf.
All right.
So all the floor was black, and everything was glow-in-the-dark.
What could you injure doing that?
Well, the floor was dark. I couldn't see the floor very well, and there was a step, and I didn't see the step. And I severely, severely sprained my ankle to the point where I had to go to the hospital, get crutches, and a casting on my ankle, which is the worst thing in the world because you don't want to go to work the next day and say, how did you injure yourself?
Well, no, you make up a different story. You don't tell that one.
You can say playing golf, right?
No!
Just say playing golf and I got hit by lightning.
Hit by lightning.
That's how I sprained my ankle. I got hit by lightning.
Thank you for the call.
All right. That may be the first and only injury in the history of putt-putt golf. Let's try, we got some really good ones. Let's try Shirley. Shirley's on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Shirley. Thanks a lot for calling. What happened to you?
I was walking in the parking lot and slipped and fell on a banana peel.
Oh, you
oh, the old
not.
Banana peel. Nice. She's doing a movie gag.
Just like the cartoons where your feet do that little dance.
Sure.
And you know, I'm flat on my back.
Sweet.
Totally embarrassed. They want to call 911, and I'm like, no.
But the first thing you did, and correct me if I'm wrong, the first thing you did was look around to see who saw.
Oh, they saw.
Oh, everyone saw. All right.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that really happened with the banana peels. I thought that was just in the cartoons. Thank you for the call. Let's try Vince. Vince got injured by his own dog. He's on line 5. Hi, Vince. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, this is May.
Good morning.
How'd your dog injure you?
Well, he gets really excited when I take him for a walk, so I decided to take him for a walk. I kneeled down to put his leash on. He jumped, and he hits my nose and busts my nose, broke the nose. So
your dog headbutted you. What a dog.
Yeah.
He headbutted you.
That's fantastic.
Sweet.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Tiffany, line 8, talking about embarrassing ways you injured yourself. Tiffany, I love this story. Tell us.
So I was actually at work. I worked for the sheriff's department at the time, and I was driving around town, and somebody thought it would be a good idea to brake check a police officer's car.
Good.
And I had to honk my horn. When I went to honk my horn, I dislocated my shoulder.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Shoulder. Tiffany, was it injured before? Because I know once you hurt your shoulder, dislocate your shoulder, sometimes it's that way for life. It falls out all the time.
Yeah, I've dislocated it when I was a kid.
Okay. All right. Good. Because
that's fantastic.
That's great. Honking your horn.
How much honking were you doing?
Who does this?
Did you lie?
A sheriff's car and I get brake checked.
Did you lie when you went back to the sheriff's station?
Did I lie? No, I was so embarrassed.
Sweet. All right.
Don't you think, by the way, that the person wasn't so much trying to brake check you as they were trying to slow down because they thought you might give them a ticket if they were going too fast?
It's possible.
Does it matter? We're missing the point that she dislocated her shoulder honking her horn.
Tiffany, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Hey, Kevin and Bean, Raul writes in, when I was much younger, my hot neighbor asked me to knock down a wasp's nest for her. I started throwing rocks at the nest. When I finally hit it, well, forgetting my hot neighbor was there, I started running and screaming like a little girl when the wasp started to fly toward me. Two steps later, I fell down, bending my fingers all the way backwards. Not only did my hand end up looking like Hamburger Helper, but then I got stung by both wasps, all this in front of a hot neighbor that I was trying to impress. Raul, you are the most embarrassing injury of the day. Congratulations. Damian Marley, by the way, is in a new supergroup band with Mick Jagger right now that has an album called Super Heavy. How's that for a bizarre combination of people? You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano joins us after the top of the hour to talk all things NFL on a bizarre weekend that found the Seahawks winning and the Patriots losing. You don't see either of those happen very often. We'll talk to him, Judy Greer on the show, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. Hey, it's Monday night, week 2 for most of the new shows. If you didn't get a chance to check out Two Broke Girls last Monday night, you got another shot tonight. And the beautiful actress and co-star of the show, Kat Dennings, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Kat, how are you?
Hi, guys.
We've been wanting to have you on probably since Nick and Nora, maybe before that. So it's a thrill to finally get to talk to you.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm such a fan. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, you're awesome to lie and say that. That's how we can tell you're a good actress, because you said that convincingly.
No. I was just going to go the other way. I don't think it was very convincing.
You didn't buy it. I bought it.
So wrong.
No, it didn't.
K-Rock is number 6 on my car. All right. You're programmed in there.
All right, good.
Wow, that's such a compliment that there are only 5 shows that have to be sucking before you finally get to ours. Thank you, Kat.
No,
I appreciate
you're
that.
Wrong.
We're just giving you a hard time.
Large numbers first.
We're just giving you a hard time.
So tell me what – I have so many questions for you in such a limited amount of time. Tell me what it's like. You work and you work and you work to get this show, and especially the first episode of a new series. I mean, that one is honed to death, rewritten to death, researched to death. You finally get the show. It finally goes on the air. Then it's out of your hands. What has the last 7 days been like for you since that show debuted? There's no way you stay off the internet and don't read the reviews that people are writing, right?
I know. Well, I try not to, but at the same time, I mean, because it's not just me. I mean, I stay away from, like, film reviews of mine and stuff, but since it's such a team effort and Beth and I are such good friends and everyone on the show is working so hard and we all love each other, I'm really having to stop myself from Googling it.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
Everyone's been really positive, which is so awesome.
That's good. You're lucky. You haven't come. It doesn't matter how good things are. You can always find people that are depressing online.
Exactly. I think that's part of the internet, is just everyone gets to be, you know, a jerk if they want to be. And sometimes they don't even want to be. They just do it.
And it's also so tough. I mean, this is, look, I get why you wanted to be on, why you wanted to do a TV show. I get that. But it's a terrible time to launch a television show. Networks, especially the big networks, man, you get one episode. I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but oftentimes.
No, this is good. This is filling her with confidence.
Oftentimes they pull the plug way fast on shows that ultimately may have found an audience and may have ended up being good. We talk all the time about shows like 30 Rock and Parks and Recreation that didn't start out being great and ended up being classic television shows that are so awesome.
Yeah.
The scary thing is, what if you don't get time to develop and come together as a unit? That must be what's terrifying.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, part of the thing is just trying to tune that out. You know what I mean? I mean, you can just start to feel crazy if you think about things too much. And the good thing about this is sort of no matter what happens, I mean, things are off to a great start, but we are very proud of the work we've done, and the episodes just keep getting better, and they keep getting funnier, and we keep having more and more fun and feel more free. So no matter what happens, we know we've made great episodes, and there's so much potential for, you know, so much awesomeness in the little half-hour window. We're so grateful for the time we've already gotten, and hopefully we get to do this, you know, for the 8 years that we signed up for.
But it's going to be sad if you're still working in that diner 8 years from now. I got news for you, Kat. I mean, really. Shouldn't you have moved on to something?
Sure.
Bean, you're a bummer, first of all. think about what you're trying to avoid thinking about, which is getting canceled immediately. And second of all, hopefully you're not going to want to be in the same place in 8 years.
No, you'll be owning your cupcake factory by then, right? That's
exactly.
The goal.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there's a tally at the end of each episode, which is, you know, how much the girls have saved or how much they've lost due to circumstances in the episode. So it's pretty amazing, and we're pretty far off from our goal. I mean, it seems like an impossible goal to reach because, you know, it's a lot of money.
Sure.
This is the voice of actress Kat Dennings here on The Kevin Bean Show talking about her show Two Broke Girls, which is going to be on CBS tonight at its regular time every week, 8:30. I don't know a lot. I'm a fan of you on TV and on movies. I don't know a lot about you personally, Kat, but you strike me as intimidating. And your weight, the character that you play on Two Broke Girls, is also very intimidating. Is that anything like you?
What is that about? I mean, I've heard that from a few dudes, and I don't understand it.
I could explain it to you, because you're obviously smarter than I am, and you also seem like, and tell me this wasn't exactly what we saw in the diner last week with the hipsters that came in with the caps on, and you dress those guys down like nobody's business. You seem like the type of person who would instantly just like obliterate anyone if they made a misstep.
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't obliterate, but I do enjoy the shade throwing from time to time. I can't deny it. But I'm an approachable young lady.
Sure.
Are you?
That's what he meant.
That's not what I meant at all. I'm terrified of Kat.
You meant unapproachable. Well, that's good. You know, I'd rather have dudes afraid of me than think that they can just come over here and try to max.
Sure.
The game.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I just wondered if they wrote that part kind of because that's how you really are. That's what scares me.
I'd love to think that, but actually, I think Max is way more based on Whitney Cummings, who's the co-creator with Michael Patrick King, who is, if I'm intimidating, she's way more intimidating than I am in that she is way smarter than me and way, way more attractive and way more awesome. She's terrifying if you're just standing there, because she's incredibly beautiful and smarter than most people on Earth. So
yeah, she's got too much going on with her own show and then overseeing yours as well. Two Broke Girls is the name of the program. It airs Monday nights at 8:30 now on CBS. Now, will you still, last question for you, will you still have time to go off and do movies and stuff in the hiatuses and whatnot?
Yes.
Or is this okay?
And that was a big thing when I decided to do this, was to make sure that I could do movies at the same time, because movies are, you know, a love in my life. So, yes.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, we don't want to see a Thor 2 without you, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Oh, neither do I. Well, we'll see, man.
All right. Well, Kat, every 3 or 4 years, we have to do this again. Thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Host of The Red Zone on DirecTV, our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us to talk all things football after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Sis was busy yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Busy,
sure was.
Man. A lot was going on in the Red Zones in the final 2 minutes of halves and games, and wow, what a weekend.
I could not be any happier. Well, I could be if my Eagles had won, but I could not be any happier with football this weekend than watching Belichick lose his S on the sidelines.
I didn't see that.
Like walking 15 yards onto the field, screaming at the top of his lungs at referees. It was magical.
I like to see him upset.
I do too, because he's so cold and calculated. Usually, on the shows no emotion, but he was showing plenty yesterday against those Bills. How about those Bills, by the way?
How about those Bills?
Looks like they're for real. Of course, it helps when the robot's throwing four picks, but still, they came to play. God bless them. Oh, let's talk showbiz news. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lion King 3D, second week in a row, and its re-release was number one at the box office. I don't think Disney had any idea this was going to happen when they re-released it. But they're sure happy.
That's crazy.
$22.1 million is what it made. Disney was supposed to just have a two-week run for that movie and then pull it, but they're saying, we'll just leave it in there.
People are still seeing it.
Oh, you want to give us millions of dollars for a movie you've already seen? All right, we'll just leave it in there for you. Thank you. We've got Lone Ranger to pay for, so feel free to keep going to see Lion King.
Wait, they said no on Lone Ranger.
No, news this weekend. Expensive. This weekend, they broke the news. Disney is back on board with the Lone Ranger. With Johnny Depp as Tonto, his faithful Indian companion, and Armie Hammer as the titular Lone Ranger. Did Casey just dump that too?
Probably.
Yeah. It was a $250 million budget. And they said, no, we're not paying. That's insane. For a Western, $250 million? That's craziness. And they said, okay, we'll make it for $215 million. They said, oh, great. That's all right. Now you're talking. So, apparently, they're back on board.
How many movies in history have had a budget of over $200 million when they start?
More and more
every year.
More and more.
Wow.
Moneyball was number two at the box office with $20.6 million. Then Dolphin Tale, $20.3. Abduction was fourth.
Not if I find you first. I'm going to stop you. I've got a motorcycle and a gun, and you're in big trouble, guys.
It's not Chris from The Family Guy starring
it. Yes, it's exactly what it is. Abduction was fourth at the box office with $11.2 million. Killer Elite.
That's right, Jet Li. Killer Elite.
That's a good movie.
I haven't a chance to see it yet, but $9.5 million made it number five. Contagion, Drive, The Help, Straw Dogs. I don't know how she does it rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Justin Bieber's a giant douche.
Really? This is new?
Did you hear about his date with Selena Gomez?
No.
Where he took over the Staples Center?
What?
So that the two of them could watch Titanic together?
What?
On a giant screen?
Huh?
What?
What? Fill me in.
Justin Bieber took Selena Gomez to a Demi Lovato concert, which I would be afraid to do because I would not know who my date was at that point if I took Selena to a Demi Lovato concert. Which one is... Are you Demi? Is that Selena? Who's on stage now? I would be lost. But takes her to the Demi Lovato concert at the Nokia Theater. And then he says, follow me. 11 o'clock. He goes, just follow me. And he takes her through the underground tunnel that connects Nokia to the Staples Center. And they walk inside the Staples Center. 20,000-seat arena. And the lights had been dimmed. And there's a table for two on the floor with candles, of course. And they have a meal there. And then Titanic comes up on the screen. And they watch Titanic up on the big screen. At the Staples Center.
So this is... What would he need him for?
This is a teenager with too goddamn much money is what we're talking about, right?
But wait. The story gets better.
How?
Staples Center just gave him the Staples Center.
No way.
For the night. Donated it. He didn't have to pay a penny. For use of the Staples Center.
Well, they certainly didn't have to avoid the Lakers/Clipper season.
No, it turns out the Staples Center was not being used that night. It was empty. And so they said, oh, well, you've sold out the Staples Center a couple times for us. Justy, come on by and have yourself a little meal with your girlfriend and watch your movie up on there on the big screen.
All right, I'm having trouble putting the headline together with the article. Why does this make him a giant douchebag then? It sounds like it didn't cost him anything and it was fun for him and his lady friend.
Because it's the biggest look at me posing over the top unnecessary BS move ever.
I agree with Ralph. This is just like look at me, look at me, look at me.
And by the way, if you want to watch a movie and enjoy it, Staples Center, not the place.
Yeah.
Why didn't he rent out the Arclight? Or why didn't he,
A place that's made for movies?
Or make her dinner at home like a person. Oh, come with me. We're going to the... Oh, Staples. Oh, look. Oh, it's dinner. Oh, look. It's a movie.
When did he start sounding like that?
Just now.
What's a Bieber?
Yeah, what's a Bieber indeed? Bieber.
Bieber. Justin Bieber Christmas album comes out in November.
Shut up. You shut up.
You does a duet with Taylor Swift. Can't wait. Die. Can't wait.
Does a duet with Taylor Swift. Oh, everything in one just
that
one.
Really is.
Everything that's awesome that's together in one package. I agree.
That's just tie a big bow around
it. The best
it.
Stuff in the world in one place, yeah.
Oh, that bean, he sure is funny. He sure does think that that's going to be great.
Two magical things in one spot. I can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Milian is 25 years old today. Jim Caviezel. He was Jesus.
Yeah.
In The Passion of the Christ. And now he is on Persons of Interest.
I don't know if you've seen that show. I have not. Not Jesus on that show.
Not?
No.
No. I noticed his hair was shorter. Yes. He was significantly shorter in the promos. I noticed that.
Yes.
And he was not lugging around a giant cross.
That's
I noticed
correct.
That part, too.
That was noticeable as well.
He is 38 years old. Linda Hamilton turns 50. And Olivia Newton-John, singer, film icon, not only for her work in Grease, but, of course, most importantly, for Xanadu. I might have to pull a little Xanadu to play a little bit in the next hour. Xanadu. By the way,
overruled.
Just like saying Xanadu over and over.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Oh, yeah? Well, you won't when you hear Xanadu. You'll be filled with love and joy and light.
No way. Not ever.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We are forever in awe of our next guest. He is the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV. Ladies and gentlemen, always a thrill to welcome our friend Andrew Siciliano in here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, this is.
Hey, you guys are way too kind. And this microphone keeps bouncing.
It does move around.
It moves around. That's
sorry.
What. Yeah, okay.
That's right. She said, right. I thought you were a better broadcaster than resorting to the cheap, easy, that's what she said jokes. I thought that
what?
Was our territory.
That is
now
a total
in the mud.
Production meeting thing that somehow got on the air.
He's you playing know? Down to our level, Bean. That's what happens.
Sometimes.
That's what it is.
Sometimes.
All right, before we move on, there's a ton of stuff to talk about in sports, particularly the amazing NFL day yesterday. But we have to start because I sense that there's some tension in the air between you two, Kevin and Andrew.
There's no tension.
And I
want to
make sure,
it,
man, what is this I want to make sure nobody's going to get kicked in the balls. What's going on, Kevin? What happened? Why are you threatening our guests before they come in?
Andrew Siciliano tweeted over the weekend something about at the beginning of the Red Zone, you guys need to really check out the open because it's fabulous or some. What was the word you used?
Fabulous.
How did you say it?
Make me sound like Michelle Bachmann's husband there.
That's what you said.
No, here's what I said. Right. I said you should check out the open if you're an old school hip hop fan.
Right.
Right, which I realize is not the genre that this station plays.
Right, good.
I said it's magnificent with sensational style.
Okay.
Which is a hint for any old school fans that might like Special Ed. And his work from the early 90s.
So I tweet back innocently.
I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
To Andrew.
What'd you say?
Are you in a dance number?
Oh.
That's it. That's all it was. Okay. So then so then a third party gets involved. Some other dude gets in and he goes, you know, I like Kevin and I like Andrew, but Andrew should kick Kevin in the balls for that.
I have no animosity towards that.
I didn't think so either. But then, just to be funny, I tweeted back I would have to do the splits for Andrew to be able to reach my balls.
Wow.
Just to be funny.
This is mildly uncomfortable.
But I'm just saying it was just to be funny. That's all.
Wow. Coming at a man for his height. That's what you're doing, Kevin.
I'm just saying it was just a joke. And I wasn't the one that was threatening. It was the other guy that said, you should kick me. That's a decent line. It's funny.
But
that's
you know
a decent
what?
Line.
I get high jokes at the NFL Network all day. I thought you guys were different.
Oh, please.
I thought so,
you
too.
You know we're not different. You've known us for a long time. We're lower than anybody else that you deal with. You know that. I love Andrew. That's the truth.
Love you,
Ben. Andrew. My daughter said, how do you, this is the honest truth,
okay.
How do you know when, she thought I was working the remote. Mm-hmm. How do you know when all the games, when there's something exciting going on? And I just pointed my head. I'm just like, you know.
It's magic.
I just do it.
It's magic.
I had it on the Red Zone channel, and you're flipping it around for me, and they were giving me credit. I'm going to take it.
Take
all
it.
Day long.
And then get kicked.
My favorite thing on the Red Zone, and it happens so infrequently that I love it when I see it, is when there's nothing going on in eight games, and you have to just pick anything and go, yep, there it is. That's what's happening right now.
You know what the issue is? The issue sometimes And you get more feedback, as you guys know. You get instant feedback via Twitter.
Sure.
So you may have a word come out of your mouth wrong, or you say the wrong song, or you say a stupid joke, and then boom, your Twitter blows up with people calling you an idiot. And people, sure, obviously sitting at home or in their car, through technology, they are empowered to call you any name in the book.
Correct. You don't have to tell me, Kevin, that.
Right. So you should hear the filth that gets thrown our way, or sure, my way, I guess, specifically,
sure,
when we will show highlights, when people say, well, give us a game. We pay for this to see games. I said, well, you know, right now,
there
I am looking
one
at every monitor. There's no game.
Yeah, yeah.
Take my word on it. Now,
yeah,
sometimes,
be happy with the clips.
Right. Sometimes we'll start a highlight, and halfway through the highlight, the game starts. A game starts. Or
right,
maybe even two begin. Well, at that point, you're not going to stop the highlight,
yeah,
with Tom
bail
Brady's arm in motion. Ah, stop that.
Yeah.
I could tell you he threw a touchdown pass, but I'd rather take you back to first down for the Bengals on their own 5-yard line. They're still 95 yards. Now, mistakes happen.
How can
sometimes
people
you
be
miss
upset
touchdowns
with the way that runs?
You know what?
To us, that's a it's a modern marvel.
When
it is. It's
people
a miracle.
Get upset,
it's a miracle.
When people get upset, I realize two things. Number one,
too much time.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But number two, it means you're doing a good job the rest of the time, so they want the football
exactly
the entire time. So.
All right. Well, we have to talk about some of these games yesterday because we never have enough time. Let's start with the game that neither Kevin nor I saw yesterday.
Which
how did Tom
was
Brady throw for that many yards and still lose? What
well
happened in that game?
He had not had a 3-INT game, or for that matter, a 4-INT game since 06, November of 06. So it had been nearly 5 years.
A lot of those yards were to the other team.
Yeah, many
ah,
of them
there's
were
the answer.
He got picked off in that Monday night opener against the Dolphins. That had been his first INT in like 11 straight games or something. He doesn't throw picks. The
that's
fact that
the
he threw four
him
picks
yeah
or threw four picks is absurd. The story here developing throughout the week is going to be Chad Johnson again, Chad Ochocinco. I'm not reporting that he's going to get cut in any way, shape, or form, but that was the kind of performance where you just get cut Monday. He dropped the touchdown at the end. Granted, they still scored. Wes Welker got in, and they tied the game.
Right.
This is before they eventually lost. But he had he ran a bad route earlier in the game, too, which got Brady picked off on one of those four INTs. That will become the story. Listen, you can go into Buffalo and get outscored. It happens. It's one game. It's not that big of a deal. The Bills
anything
will eventually slow
game
down.
Right.
They will be there till the end, but they will slow down. That one game may cost them at the end, may not. But Chad Ochocinco's performance was brutal.
So if you're just tuning in, Andrew Siciliano is reporting.
I'm not reporting that
with
in any
all
way
confidence
at all
that Chad Ochocinco has been cut.
No, that's not.
And
what
then
I'm
kill the guy. I heard.
No, no.
He shot himself in the leg.
Maybe that's Plex. That's a
that
guy
is. That is unbelievable. That I mean, I guess that makes all the sense in the world with all those interceptions. But I mean, you see the stats and you go, "Wow!"
Is all Buffalo right is the Buffalo defense that good? They're responsible for intercepting.
The Buffalo defense deserves credit.
They do.
That entire team deserves credit. Chan Gailey, the coach, deserves credit.
But they're for real.
They're for
is
real.
Is this going to keep happening?
They're going to keep winning. Now that they're not going to go 16-0,
right? Of course not
at all. No. But they're going to be in it at the end. They have one of the best stories on offense. They're the misfit toys. They have a seventh-round quarterback from Harvard who has dubbed himself the Amish Rifle.
That's a great name.
They have a wide receiver from Kentucky that few people wanted. They have another wide receiver who was undrafted. They have a running back who went to Coe College, C-O-E. Do you
what's
know where that is?
No.
It's in Iowa.
This sounds like Moneyball.
No
this
one's
sounds
heard
like
of
the
it
story for Moneyball where in they
many
pick up
ways,
a bunch of players no one knows.
Except Brad Pitt will never play Chan Gailey or Buddy Nix, the
yeah
GM,
yeah,
in any way. But hopefully, unlike Moneyball, the Bills win. And that's the magic about Moneyball. The A's never won a damn thing.
Yes.
Right. It was a great book by Michael Lewis, and it's a fascinating story.
In
and
the
many
movie,
things
they made
have
a huge deal about the 20 games in a row or whatever, 19 games in a row.
They did. I mean,
a
look,
huge
they're
deal.
They're a good team. I haven't seen the movie yet. It was a good book.
It's a good movie.
But they didn't win anything. Now,
right,
plenty of people have built off what they started.
Sure.
And still do the same thing, but they didn't win.
Yeah, Tampa Bay uses the Moneyball theory and has fields a competitive team every year. All right. Is Oakland that good? Are the Jets that bad? What happened there?
The Jets, I think, long-term are a better team than the Raiders. And here comes my Raider hate tweet.
Sure.
But the Raiders are fun. And I never thought I'd say this.
Fun.
They're fun because they're fast. And all those fast guys that Al drafted for years to no effect because
right
they couldn't play football. Darius Hayward Bay is still one of those people. They actually now produce. like Darren McFadden or Denarius Moore or so many of these guys. They're fun, and Hugh Jackson has turned out to be a pretty darn good coach so far. It's a very, very small sample size. Nobody wants to go play. The Patriots have to go there next week.
Yeah, it's not a place you want to go play ever.
You don't want to go play there anymore.
Regardless of how the season's going.
At all. The Jets battled hard. The Jets are a banged-up team. They didn't have their center, Nick Mangold, which actually means something. And Mark Sanchez, I think, broke his nose in that game.
Sweet.
He finished the game with a visor on. So to answer your question, I think the Raiders are a legitimate threat in that division to the Chargers.
They do find creative ways to lose. They do.
They are still the most penalized team in the NFL, and I don't believe it's close.
All right, last question before the break. Our guest is Andrew Siciliano, host of the Red Zone Direct TV channel. You can go to directtv.com to get it, and you should. Will anyone beat the Packers?
Will anyone beat the Packers? That's a good question.
But you don't mean will they go unbeaten this year, Bean?
Yeah,
I mean,
literally unbeaten. Literally, probably not unbeaten. Okay. But let's face it, they got to be favored in every game they play against every opponent, in all likelihood.
If the Packers were to play the Saints again as they did in that opener and they did in New Orleans, I might take New Orleans.
Really?
Might.
Okay.
But right now, they look like a machine, except they're giving up huge passing yards. Even a lot of them were garbage yards yesterday. Jay Cutler still threw for 300. The Packers, coming into the game, had the worst, at least statistically, pass defense in the NFL. Over 800 yards passing. Wow. So they've allowed over 1,100 yards passing. Nick Collins, their safety's out for the year. So they have weaknesses. You cannot put a team together that doesn't have a weakness. The Packers have a weakness.
Just can they cover it and make their strength strong enough?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Good times. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more with our guest, Andrew Siciliano, right after this. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano in studio on The Kevin and Bean Show here, of course, the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV. Andrew, we're going to take the Twitter away from you. You can no longer read the hater comments.
I can no longer do that. Okay.
Seriously, that's too much. It's too much. By the way, before we talk some more about this past weekend and other things in sports, Andrew, you have some kind of big news for football fans of where people can find you now 4 days a week, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, we hadn't talked about it. NFL Network, Monday through Thursday, Total Access, 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern, and replayed ad nauseum throughout the night.
Yeah, they do play it forever, and
they do.
I love that because no matter what you're doing, you can find it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a
fantastic Kara Henderson.
Is football your favorite sport?
By far.
Okay,
absolutely.
It is. Good. And you're the right man for the job.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about that, but thank you. They hired me for my looks and my height, clearly.
Sure.
Clearly.
What is going on with Michael Vick? What do you hear today, if anything?
There is a report out of Philly from Howard Eskin, who wears fantastic fur coats. Have you ever seen them?
No.
He wears these.
I thought that went out with the Cowboys in the 70s, the fur coats in the NFL.
It has gone out, and it's awful.
I like it.
But he stands on the sideline. He's the sideline reporter for the Philly radio games.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph knows who I'm talking
about. Sure.
And he wears these flowing fur coats, like right out of a bad movie.
Love it.
On the sideline. And really, he doesn't even wait for the leaves to turn. As soon as it gets below 80, he wears flowing fur coats. He reports Vic's out 3 to 4 weeks with a broken right hand.
Okay.
Wow, now that is not his throwing hand, right?
No, it is not his throwing hand. It is his other hand, but he's going to have to wear a cast on it or do something. It's 3 to 4 weeks, they say, with at least something broken in his right hand, his non-throwing hand, which means Mike Kafka is your quarterback.
I'm sorry, who?
Mike Kafka is your quarterback. From Northwestern.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
And how tragic, I mean, obviously Vic is their premier player, one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, but how it's not as tragic for Philadelphia as it is for Indianapolis to lose their guy, right?
Oh, no.
Not that bad.
Nearly as bad. And if they don't go to Mike Kafka, I'm not the biggest Vince Young fan, but Vince Young is something like 75% as a starter in this in his career. Tennessee, that Vince Young, Heisman, SC fans, Texas, Rose Bowl, right? That guy, he's still there. I mean, they have options, they have weapons, they have LeSean McCoy, they have DeSean Jackson. They will be fine. They're much, 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 much better with Michael Vick.
Sure.
There's a reason they just paid the guy.
Right. No one was expecting them to be 1-2 at this point in the season. That's for sure.
No. And listen, no one expected them to lose yesterday. If you had one game, I don't gamble, one game yesterday to say it's a lock, even though it's a division game and you should never, ever, ever do it that way, I would have said the Eagles. The Giants came in on a short week off of Monday night. They had lost 6 straight to the Eagles. They lost 2 more wide receivers in Manningham and Dominic Hickson in that Monday night game over the Rams. They have nobody healthy. They have like 12 guys on IR or the PUP list, which is not a Vic joke. It's
the pup list.
It's just the physically unable to perform list, which
right,
is
pup list.
It has different connotations.
Hmm.
Physically
yeah,
unable to perform.
Hmm.
Andrew, I would have said take the Eagles. Yeah. Anyway,
tell me about the exercise in futility that is the Minnesota Vikings this year.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Have you ever seen? No, not at all. But have you ever seen a team that has squandered more big leads? And I mean, it's never happened before that a team has lost three in a row. Haven't they had 3 18-point leads in a row that they lost?
All right, coming
18
in,
point or more.
Coming into the game, coming into the week, no team had ever blown double-digit halftime leads in its first two games of the year and lost.
That's never happened.
Had never happened. Okay. But the Vikings did it the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. They did it again yesterday. So now no team has ever lost three straight games when
this is a record that will stand forever.
At the half by double digits. They were up 20-0 this time.
Wow. 20-0 they were up.
Of the three. And they lost it again.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're
it's
a
not
joke.
A good year to be a Minnesota fan.
No, especially if the team moves here. It'll be making even worse.
Great.
Yeah.
In our remaining time, are we at the point in the season where you're going to start to see some changes made? Are people, you know, 3 games in, hey, maybe this guy isn't our quarterback, or 3 games in, we're going to fire our coach? Is anybody starting to get itchy at this point?
There's no coach that is going to be fired yet, although many people, and myself included, think that Todd Haley in Kansas City will be the first to go, even though they were a playoff team last year. He's in his last year, and they didn't give him a contract, so he's a dead man already.
Okay.
But as for quarterbacks, Donovan McNabb, they have a rookie. They drafted Christian Ponder in the first round. It's not all McNabb's fault. But he would be, I think he'd be the first to get benched. But they could bench Kerry Collins now, the old guy they brought in. The best thing is they brought in a guy older than Peyton.
That is
when
strong.
When Peyton was hurt.
That is strong.
Right. They got a guy who's actually 2.5 years older than him.
And how many of those were available? Just this guy?
How many old guys other than, plenty of guys. You know, Troy Aikman's still available.
Sure, yeah.
Right? You know, he's working
Frank Gifford is looking
Frank
pretty good.
Frank Gifford's still walking around. Joe Theismann could still play. If you don't believe him, ask him.
Sure.
He'll tell you.
Of course.
Sonny Jurgensen still does Redskin games.
All right.
Right? Yeah. But they got a guy 2.5 years older. He got knocked out with a concussion yesterday.
Now, hey, Bart Starr. Star was at opening night, by the way. What about Bart Starr? Put him in there,
Yeah, I like it. So maybe, but I would say McNabb probably would be the first to get sat down. Is that English? Sit. Told.
I think for the purposes of a sports conversation, sat down is completely acceptable.
You try to say the word knuckle-dragging Neanderthals?
Not at all.
Hey, but hey, hockey season just started.
Yes, it did.
I know you love that.
No, I don't.
Hockey!
No, and you know the defensiveness of hockey fans. A guy in the newsroom yesterday or last week.
Because it's so great people don't realize.
Listen, guy in the newsroom last week says to me, and I hear him talking hockey. I said, hockey? He said, dude. This is his honest answer. All I said was, hockey, ? That's all I said. Baseball's the worst sport in America. So that's not what I said.
Right, that was not the conversation.
Like, calm down. Go throw a beer at somebody.
But here's the thing about that, is that I agree with him that baseball's bad. But you have to realize you're in the minority and everybody else holds baseball. You at least have to admit
that. Right, but that's what his answer was.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, one other thing about beer, quickly. You know, we're out of time. Justin Tuck of the Giants, right?
Yes.
The Giants are leaving Philadelphia yesterday. He tweets from the team bus in Philadelphia, just had an 8-year-old throw a beer at our bus. Not kidding.
Wow.
Come on.
They train him early in Philly to be good fans. You know that.
How about that?
I love it.
Andrew Siciliano is on the Red Zone Sundays on DirecTV. Go to DirecTV.com, and you can now see him on the NFL Network 4 afternoons a week. Is it Monday through Thursday?
Monday through Thursday, yes, sir.
Monday through Thursday at 4 Pacific Coast time on the NFL Network. And I'm so happy you're doing that Total Access show, because it's a great show, and you're a fine addition to it.
Thank you.
Andrew, keep in touch, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
one of our favorites, actress Judy Greer, joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's in the 2.5 Men this season and also in what looks like an awesome new George Clooney movie. Can't wait to talk to her about that. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes, too. First, though, it's Monday. That means Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, on the phone. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, as usual, we have too many things to talk about, and I want to start with something that happened since we last spoke with you, and you had some very interesting tweets about it, and that was the Bristol Palin story.
Yeah, this is just crazy. So she's at the Saddle Ranch shooting a reality show, and this guy who was really out of line, he was just a jerk, screams at her, basically, your mother's a whore. totally out of line. She then walks up to the guy and starts, you know, in his face, I know you're a homosexual. And he's
what?
You know, yeah. And she and he said, why would you say something like that? She said, I just know you are. And, you know, she just is like going to a place where she wants to like hurt the guy. And the way she hurts him is by saying, you're gay. Okay. And it was really, it was the most uncomfortable thing to watch. I can't see this on the website.
Wait, this was 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, she says, because, you know, she says, homosexuals hate my mom.
That's what I was wondering. Is that, was that her, this is what I wanted to get from you, Harvey. Do you believe her motivation was, oh, this person is angry at me because he hates my mother because she's a conservative Christian Republican? Or do you think she was just trying to hurt him and couldn't think of anything else to say? And the first insult that came to her mind is, oh, well, you're gay.
Well, no, it had to be the latter, because there are, look, there are plenty of people who love Sarah Palin, but there are also plenty of people who don't like her, some of whom are homosexuals, but some of whom,
of course,
you know, are all sorts of people.
Of course.
And she just, boom, went there. So that's why I think the latter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really, it was really telling.
It is fairly ugly. And by the way, if Bristol Palin doesn't like the gays, what the hell is she doing going on Dancing with the Stars?
Well, and right? by the way, she was in West Hollywood when this happened.
Okay.
Right, right. Exactly.
Good enough.
All right. A new story just broken. It's an exclusive at TMZ.com. I know you've been doing some legwork on this. It involves the DEA, which is not a topic that we get into very often in this program. But what's going on, Harvey?
This is so interesting. So for the last year, there have been a bunch of people who have been targeted. I'm going to do this by an example that I'm going to give you, but this person, there are many, many people like this. There's a Hollywood producer who got a call last week from somebody, a message, and the voicemail was, I'm a DEA agent. The person gave his name, and the name was a real DEA agent.
Okay.
And you are in serious trouble. You've just been indicted on drug charges. You need to call me. The guy freaked out, called his lawyer. The lawyer calls this DEA agent up, and the guy says, look, your client bought one bottle of Xanax 5 years ago, and it was on a website that was registered in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic has indicted him because it was illegal to buy a prescription. He is going to be extradited to the Dominican Republic, but the Supreme Court justice in the Dominican Republic has given a small window where if the person pays a fine, the charge will go away. Totally bogus. This is not a DEA
so
agent.
Basic.
And it's a scam. What they're doing is this group is going on websites and finding the people who bought prescription drugs, and they're scaring the crap out of them, calling them up, having them mail fines in to various places, banks, you know, wiring services, and it's all a scam, and it's happening to a lot of people. I talked to the DEA.
That's what I was going to ask, is what's the DEA saying about this?
They're investigating it. In fact, we got the voicemail message that was left, and it's up on the site. But I can tell you, the DEA has, and they're really concerned because the people who are doing it are actually using real names of agents. So it's a huge problem because most people are so scared they wouldn't hire a lawyer; they're just sending the money in.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because I bet this is a game of numbers. If you do this to 100 people, if 20 of them send whatever the amount of money is, it's profitable for you, right?
That's exactly what's going on. And there's more to this story. We're going to be putting stuff up during the day, but there is a lot more to this story. And you guys are going to be talking about this tomorrow. I'm telling you.
All right. Fantastic.
And by the way, I know that people, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to phrase this properly, Harvey, but this is meant as a compliment. There are a lot of people who throw the word TMZ out there as if it's always light and fluffy. This is the kind of investigation that Harvey does from time to time on the site that used to be done, you know, by the New York Times. But you've got the resources to follow and track down a story like this and legitimately report on it. I mean, and this is a real story.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, look, I mean, we do everything. We do fun. We do silly. We do important.
So can we now buy Xanax from the Dominican
no,
Republic?
You missed the point.
Because they don't care?
Completely escaped.
All right, I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
All right, I want to ask one last question, Harvey, and this is a throwback to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago about your friend Gloria Allred, because I've been seeing, I don't know why I have my, I guess it's because I have my TV on the NBC channel for the Today Show, so I see the Gloria Allred show come up on my TV. Can anyone just put on a robe and call themselves a judge? She's not a judge, right?
Yes.
She's never been a judge. She's a lawyer, right? But she can pretend to be a judge on TV?
If you guys have been watching this, I mean, they
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Gloria Allred has a judge show, like Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anybody can. I mean, they can do this with anybody, and it's basically private arbitration. And listen, I was a judge, like, part-time a long time ago in small claims court. And, you know, any lawyer can basically do it. My problem was that...
you took it seriously.
Well, no, my problem was the judge who actually ran the courtroom was a lot taller than me, and there was no robe available, so I had to wear that judge's robe. and I walked up on the, you know, the bench, and I fell flat on my face.
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
It was bad.
Do
it was
you have
really,
video it, of that?
It was, no, it was so
Harvey?
You know what? Actually, I take it back. You know what? There is video.
Yes.
Because I was a reporter at Channel 4 at the time, and they shot it. I have no idea what happened to this video.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, by the way, Harvey, this is what I forgot to tell you, too. I tweeted on Friday, Dr. Drew was on the Ellen show on Friday. Ellen found a video of him as a Wheel of Fortune contestant 30 years ago. I took a screen capture of it and put it up on my Twitter, and people went crazy for seeing Dr. Drew back before he was hunky. Do you want me to send it to you? Is that something you might be able to use?
Oh,
on
my
the
God,
same?
I would love to. I mean, well, listen, as a fellow game show contestant on
what?
High Rollers.
You were on High Rollers.
I was on High Rollers when I was in law school, and because I wanted to win a boat. And I, it's a whole story.
I wanted to make Dr. Drew happy, and Bean said it would make Dr. Drew happy, so I retweeted
it. Oh, send it to me. I want to see it.
I will send it to you because Dr. Drew instantly direct messaged me and said, you suck so bad. He said, for 30 years, I've been living in fear that somehow it was going to get out that I was a contestant on the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, thank my God. I see it as a badge of honor.
Yes, that's absolutely what I think. All right, I'm going to email it to you right now. Let's get as many people as possible.
Did he win or lose?
He lost.
Who cares? Hey, let me tell you something by looking at the picture. He lost.
All right, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Be sure to take the TMZ tour when you and your guests are in Hollywood. Thanks, Harvey.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Brandman University. Do better. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Now do better.
Yeah.
It's world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Why don't you do better, man?
You do better.
Judy Greer next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Love her so much.
I know, right? She's awesome. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lion King 3D for the second week in a row. Number two at the box office. $22.1 million. Made it number one.
I think it'd be number one, Ralph.
What did I say? Number two?
Yeah.
Number two.
I meant to say number one. Number two was Moneyball in its debut. See, it threw Bean off because he didn't know when to play his cash register
sound effect.
I know. The Asperger's kicked in there. No, one. Uh-oh, 20 Mr. Wapner. Moneyball was second in its debut with $20.6 million. Dolphin Tale. Oh, Kevin, you missed it last week. We gave Bean another Asperger's test.
Is that right?
Oh, it was magical. We went there, Bean.
And?
Oh, what do you think?
Way high.
Yeah.
Yep.
They've added some questions to the test to make it appear even more so that I have it.
It's like they just followed Bean around and then wrote a test around
his
life.
They did it to make you appear more like that. Yeah, Bean.
Exactly.
Dolphin Tale was third with $20.3 million, right behind Moneyball. Then Abduction with Taylor Lautner.
Not if I find you first, because I'm going to come after you, and you're in big trouble, everybody. I got a gun and a motorcycle.
I will see any movie like that because it's my genre. I love that.
You love seeing children carry guns?
I wasn't interested in this one.
No. This was like Agent Cody Banks 2. that's what it struck me as. Killer Elite was fifth.
That one I saw.
Contagion, Drive, The Help, Straw Dogs. I don't know how she does it. Top 10 at the box office this weekend. Taylor Lautner, by the way, had a romantic love connection with his co-star in Abduction, Lily Collins, but it looks like their relationship is now over. They split up.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
They were at the premiere, and they would not even talk to each other. Apparently, there's some bad feelings between the two, according to Us Weekly magazine. Lily said, I just couldn't believe Taylor Lautner in an action film. that's why I had to break up with him. So I can't say that I blames her.
True or false, Ralph?
False!
Okay.
I think he had a question in mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was just a...
The co-star of Abduction, Lily Collins?
Yes.
Phil Collins' daughter.
This is true.
How about that?
And she's a lovely and talented girl.
All right.
I wish her all the best. I did not know this. You guys are more plugged into this kind of stuff than I am. But did you know that according to this book anyway, Dave Grohl was quitting Nirvana before Kurt even killed himself?
We have heard that.
Yeah, he was miserable.
I did not know that. There's a new book called This Is a Call, The Life and Times of Dave Grohl. It is a biography about Dave. And he goes into details saying that in the fall of 1993, reportedly, Dave overheard Kurt say that he wasn't a very good drummer. That he wanted Dave to play more like Dan Peters of Mudhoney, who had been a member of Nirvana for a short period of time before Dave joined the band. And that was the last straw for Dave. He was miserable. He told the band's tour manager he wanted out. He was convinced to stick around for a short while longer. And then, of course, everything ended when Kurt committed suicide in April of 94. But
Kurt, for all his goodness, was not much of a nurturer.
I did not get that sense that he fostered camaraderie
amongst
the other band members.
But, and they had a lot of trouble at the drumming position. Wasn't Grohl about the fifth or sixth drummer in Nirvana?
Yeah, they were like Spinal Tap.
Right.
Drummers were just exploding, leaving stains on the drum seat when they were in that band. Yeah. So.
And it's sad because once Nirvana broke up, we never heard from Dave Grohl again. I mean, I think he got out of music or something.
I think Kurt had a point. He wasn't very talented. I don't think
that
he
must have been it.
Didn't have a lot to offer.
He's got his own band now.
Whoa.
We would have heard about that. Come on.
Nice.
Good one.
And more music news. This breaks my heart. Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone.
He crazy.
Yeah, he's got more problems than that. He is living in a van.
Oh, down by the river?
Down by the river. He literally is living in a small camper parked on a street in Crenshaw in South Central Los Angeles.
Wow. Dude.
That's where he lives now.
For folks who don't recognize the name, Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone, late 60s, early 70s, one of the biggest rock acts in the world.
Massive.
Had a dozen top 10 hits, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, and Everyday People, and Hot Fun of the
Dance
Summertime.
Dance to the Music.
Dance to the Music. Just, I mean, they couldn't have been any bigger, selling out the biggest arena you can imagine, the biggest stars in the world. And I don't know whether it's mental illness or what, but this is where he's at now.
Parents lost all of his wealth to drugs and some really bad business deals, had a problem with his manager who stole most of his money. Sold his publishing rights to all the Sly and the Family Stone music to Michael Jackson for $1 million in 1984. For just a million.
Wow.
And if you know anything about the publishing racket, that's just unheard of because those songs just keep paying and paying and paying and paying. But apparently he was so hard up for money, he sold everything off for $1 million, has burned through that, now is living in a small camper in Crenshaw, which if you know anything about South Central Los Angeles.
That's a good area.
That is a great neighborhood, yeah. So congratulations.
When I was involved in the Grammys.
Oh, I remember it well.
They did a tribute to him, and he ran off the stage halfway through it.
Yeah, they say he's scared to death of performing now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they finished without him.
There's a lot going on.
Couldn't take it.
And I read that piece. I think it's from excerpts from an upcoming book. And they said that he still writes and records songs on his little laptop. I don't know where he's getting power out in the van, but he has hundreds of songs. But he is too afraid of being ripped off that he won't play them for anybody. Like he won't take them to a record label because he's afraid that somebody will steal them.
Well, they're not
gonna,
hermit.
He's right. They're not going to steal them.
He's got issues.
He has no danger there.
Correct.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christina Milian is 25 years old today. Serena Williams, tennis player, celebrates her 30th birthday. Jim Caviezel. He is 38 years old today. Passion of the Christ, of course, famously, and Persons of Interest, now on CBS.
That's a good show.
Linda Hamilton from The Terminator is 50 years old today. And Olivia Newton-John, actress, singer, icon. Let's get physical. Yes, please. Grease. Oh, Sandy. But the reason I celebrate her birthday more than anything else is the classic film Xanadu that she starred in was also a musical. Xanadu, real brief overview of Xanadu.
How brief can it be?
Olivia Newton-John plays a ancient Grecian muse who comes to life off of a mural painted on a wall.
Time's up.
In order to fall in love with a young artist whose job it is to paint blown-up versions of album covers that they hang on the sides of buildings. Together, they make their dream of opening a roller disco come true. It is the worst movie you've ever seen.
Good, I thought you liked it.
And yet, when I see it on television, I must watch it.
Because it's the worst movie you ever
saw. I stop and I watch the entirety, especially so we can get to this sequence where she sings the title song. Roller disco, everybody skate.
Skating backwards.
Their dream is the roller disco.
Yes, to open their own roller disco.
Yeah, come on. One more time. Xanadu. Oh, there's so much roller skating in this movie.
I'll bet they roller skate a lot.
They sure do roller skate.
And they go backwards.
They sure do go backwards.
Do they slow dance roller skate?
Oh, they do it all, Kevin. They do. And if you can do it on roller skates, they do it in Xanadu. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Let's all talk about actress Judy Greer as if she's not here. Let's see if we can embarrass her by how much we love her and how adorable she is.
We love her. Here's what I know. Last time she came in, I was on vacation.
And oh, that's right.
I've heard so incredibly much about you since. Like, every time your name comes up, they all go crazy.
We miss her every day she's not here. Aww, is what happens.
Okay.
That was the last good show we had. I think so. When Judy Greer stopped by about a year ago.
That was the Marconi winner. That was the show.
That was the one.
That was the one they sent into the judging committee, and that's why they gave you guys the award.
It's great news. Yeah.
Now, Judy is here today because she always does excellent work, but how can I say this? She doesn't 100% of the time pick projects that connect with America, okay?
Wow,
this
you're
time,
a dick.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying
speaks the truth.
That's a good start.
Yes, she does great work, but not all of her shows make it. But I'm telling you right now, you're hotter than you've ever been because you're hanging on to two rockets right now that can't fail. Am I right about that, Judy?
Yeah,
this is like a great time to be Judy Greer, right?
Yeah, yeah. Things are good.
All right. Why don't we start? Why do you minimize 2.5 Men? That seems like an amazing thing to be on right now.
Why do you minimize her career up till this point?
Right. You have to make her feel bad first.
No. I complimented her.
It was backhanded, man. It was backhanded.
I'm saying you're not as fat as you used to be. See, I'm complimenting.
Oh, man.
Stop it.
Let's start with 2.5 Men. We'll get to the big screen George Clooney in a few minutes. But let's start with 2.5 Men because, I mean, there couldn't be a better time in the history of the world to join a sitcom than now with all of the publicity and
even
hype around it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's been really fun. It's been like going to work on last Tuesday after the premiere was like sort of insane. I mean, you've heard about Ashton's trailer. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, the double
like,
level.
First of all, it's bigger than my house for realsies, like square footage wise.
Good.
And then when he sat down at the table, he said, "I want a bigger trailer," which was it made me love him even more.
Have you been in the trailer? Apparently, he entertains in the trailer
every Friday after taping. He has every single person there on stage.
That's a big.
Well, maybe not the audience. Sorry, audience members.
Yeah,
don't get to
sorry,
go.
Guys.
But everyone comes and drinks and hangs out. He plays music. I mean, it's just a huge party. And like, it used to be that, like, because I've done the show before years ago, and it used to be like everyone hangs out and has beer or wine or whatever after the show,
right?
Just on set. But like, yeah, it's like a whole new, better, funner situation now.
Well, imagine how, I mean, the cast and crew over there have to just be walking on air what this season must feel like to them compared to last year.
Yeah.
They just have to be so happy with the upgrade.
Well, people are pretty cool about talking about what it was like because I'm really gossipy and I'm always like, what was it like? What was it like? That was awful. Tell me everything, everything. Because when I was on the show, he was like, great. Like, Charlie was great. So I was trying to get the skinny, but no one would tell me anything. But I will say that everyone says we finish about an hour earlier. Like, everyone's in a better mood. Everyone's really happy all the time. Ashton's super fun. He works really hard, and he's really cute. Like, holy buckets. I mean,
he certainly likes to walk around naked, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes, he does. What did that mean?
I don't know. It sounded dirty, though.
He seems dopey, though. Is he dopey in real life, or is he just playing dopey on TV?
No, he's not at all dopey.
Really?
He's so not dopey. I have a hard time talking to him because I always feel like he's like really like kind of judging me. Like, he's like trying to take it all in and figure everything out.
He can't judge you.
He can.
Let's be honest.
You're can do anything.
He can't judge
you. You are above judgment.
Please.
He's so fun, though.
So last week on the season premiere, and by the way, I may have been the first ever 2.5 Men episode I watched from start to finish because
nice.
I had to see the hype.
You and
but,
a lot of people,
I think. Yeah, it was enormous, right? I mean, it was bigger than American Idol numbers last week.
28 million Americans, I think, were watching.
They're expecting double that for the next one. That's great news.
Anything less would be a disappointment.
Because they heard Judy Greer was going to be on.
So you were discussed. Your character, Bridget, is the ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife of Ashton Kutcher's character, Walden. And you were discussed in great detail last week, but weren't seen. So do we actually see you on the TV tonight?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't seen the episode cut together, but I'm assuming they left my scenes in.
You're assuming you're
in. Is it possible you're not? Let's
it's
start
always
there.
Possible. Okay. I'm always open to the fact that I've been completely cut out of everything I do. I'm always happy that I'm not.
So is this wrapping up him becoming a single man storyline, or will you continue to have a presence for the whole rest of the season at least?
I have a presence for a while. I'm not, I can't comment about the whole rest of the season, but
what about
definitely.
The rest of the season?
What kind of details yes. can you give us on that?
Every episode.
Yeah, I know that I'm on for a little bit, but I don't know for how much longer.
Are you on next season? You can't talk about this season. Are you on next season?
Good, I signed Ralph. A deal for the third season with
right.
Ashton.
Oh, good.
They don't want to use me for sure in the second.
That's
no.
good idea.
Okay, okay. When the show is canceled, and then 10 years from then when they have a reunion, are you going to be in that?
I have been pitching them changing the title to Two and a Half Men and Bridget.
I like it. It's
they're
got a
like
ring.
Not into that. For yeah.
They don't know.
They don't
know.
There's just so many problem. Posters everywhere that say yeah. Two and a Half Men, and they're really cheap. So
sure. Yeah. Well, that is really exciting, though, to do a show like
it
that.
Is.
It's already up and running, and you don't have to worry about whether it's going to succeed.
That you know people are going to watch for sure, like yeah. no matter what. Like, this is a slam dunk for me on television, I have to say.
But you're on Archer as well. That's a hit. People
oh
love
my gosh.
Archer.
I know. They do.
You're
they
great
do.
On that.
I can't wait till 27 million people watch Archer.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. But it's good. And people like it.
They should.
They should, way. But they won't. That's but. Not going to happen.
Two and a Half Men airs tonight and every Monday night at 9 on CBS. We have to take a break. Okay. Our show girlfriend, Judy Greer, is here. And when we return, we have to talk about all things George Clooney. Because you're in this Descendants yeah, movie, which yeah. just, I mean, like, the guy has so many awesome movies coming out, too. George Clooney. Like, what's up with this dude, right?
That's but a great question. Let's start
Let's
with
explore
next
that. We'll explore that.
What's up,
we'll
get back.
With, What's up with this dude?
All right. Way to set it up. We'll be
The whole show has a girlfriend. Her name is Judy Greer, ladies and gentlemen, and she is here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Speaking of which, we haven't seen you since the news broke, but congratulations on your engagement.
I know, I'm getting hitched.
Yeah.
It broke,
nice.
Boy,
broke our
yeah,
hearts a little bit, because I think we all thought we had a little bit of a shot at one point, at
well,
one chance.
Well, he has first.
Yeah,
sorry.
All right.
When is this going to happen? When are you getting married?
December.
Wow, right yeah. around the corner. And when will that be canceled?
Oh, wow.
What? I'm just saying.
Are you crazy bride chick?
No.
Are you a bridezilla?
Well, I don't think so yet. I'm sure I will be. I plan on it because,
okay, good.
You know, I want there to be some good stories.
You do get that opportunity once,
yeah.
you know, at least once.
You should have got to gear up a little sooner than this.
I know.
If you're really going to be in full swing.
It really is right around the corner.
Yeah.
I know. It's so crazy. Well, I was crazy, I think, to decide to get married so soon. But I don't know. I just felt like I don't want to be one of those girls that's like engaged for 2 years because I'm like not 21. And I don't know. I feel like we should just get married if we're going to get married.
Right.
And now I'm like, shoot, we have to get married so soon.
Details.
There's so much to do. You have no idea.
Your decisions annoy yourself.
How long have you guys been going out? Or had you been going out before you got engaged?
A day.
Yeah. Well, I haven't actually met him yet.
Oh, I'm going to marry someone in December.
We don't know the pressure.
It's going to be a reality show. No, we've been together about a year and a half.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's long enough. I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
I think
mean,
you know.
You know,
you know
what they say. You know, you know. And before I met him, I was like, that's a lie that stupid people say. And then I met him and I was like, you do just know.
Oh, birds like were that. Tweeting and circling your head. And it was
now, wait. And you're now, so do, are you now in the group of stupid people?
I'm totally
that?
Stupid.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All
now
right.
I can officially say to people, like, yeah, I'm not sure. It's really hard, but I think it's going to work. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not going to work. You already know. It should be easy. Relationships should be easy.
Let me write.
Hang on,
let me write a note. Have Judy in a year.
Yeah.
Okay, Judy
good.
Is here for many reasons. Two and a Half Men, as we talked about, comes back tonight. You can see Judy on the show on CBS at 9 tonight. Then Archer, of course, starts September. It's already started, I guess,
yeah,
right?
I think it
Archer
has.
You can find her on that on the FX channel Thursday nights. And then there's a new movie opening up in December, right around the time you're getting married. And this,
little
I've been
film.
Seeing the trailers for. This is George Clooney and the Descendants.
Yeah,
that,
sounds like
that
a
title,
band.
It does.
It is a band, actually. That that title doesn't exactly tell people what goes on. Give them a brief synopsis, then we want to hear about it.
The movie? Well, the Descendants is referring to descendants of like Hawaiian royalty. And George Clooney plays one of these descendants in this family in Hawaii, and they own all of this land. They've all inherited this land. And so one of the plots of the film, there's a few, is that they're trying to figure out what to do with this land. And one of the options is to sell it to a developer and make, like, 1,000, like, scary condos and hotels and things in Hawaii, you know, and, like, that would make all of them, like, rich beyond their wildest dreams. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as you see in the movie, and it's really, like, so much of it is, like, a love story to Hawaii. Like, you see this beautiful land that's untouched and, like, the ocean and just, like, imagining, like, it covered in, you know, like, tourism.
Condos
and
tourism.
Yeah, like,
but
so,
then a volcano would rise up and kill all those people who built the condos,
fingers
right?
crossed, you know? So, like...
Best case scenario. Now, before we left, Bean had a question for you, and I think it's worth a follow-up. George Clooney makes a lot of good movies. What's up with that guy?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's pretty nice. Yeah. He's easy on the eyes. He's really smart, and, I mean... For him to, like, I don't know, this is a role I've never seen him in, and I think I've seen, like, most of his films, but this is something.
You've never seen,
like,
him in a role like this role?
No.
Is
never.
This an Alexander Payne film?
Yeah, Alexander Payne directed this. And
he did
and
Sideways.
Sideways, Election, about Schmidt, and my personal favorite, Citizen Ruth, and without sounding like a cheeseball, that's one of the reasons I wanted to become an actress when I was in college. I mean, I was studying acting, but I was like, I'll never be an actor because it's, like, really hard, and, you know, anyway, and I'm in Chicago, and I just want to drink and eat pizza. So, but then I saw Citizen Ruth, and I was like, I want to, like, work with that guy. I just hope someday maybe if this all works
really?
Out, like, I could work with that guy.
Before you had the career, you said,
before,
I want to work with that guy.
I mean, he, like, Laura Dern's performance and, like, I mean, her, she's amazing, but, like, that guy who makes that movie and tells that story in such a way that's, like, funny and compelling and, like, you leave the theater and you can't stop thinking about it and you don't know who you agree with, even though I kind of do, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, really, it was really cool. It was.
Were you did you geek out when
yeah,
you met
Yeah, that's
her?
What I was going to ask.
Oh, my God.
Did he have to call security and have him escort you away?
No.
Tell me about.
Like, oh, my God. And Citizen Ruth?
Okay.
And Citizen Ruth?
How's that?
Yeah.
Tell me some stories.
Oh, man. And, like, and I, when I had to audition for the role, like, and I have a really dramatic scene in the movie, and, like, I get really nervous, and so it was really sort of easy for me to cry in my audition because I was so nervous.
You were having a breakdown anyway. Might as well use it.
Just channel it into a job.
I did, it turns out. So.
Payne's film always seemed to walk a line between tragedy and the absurd comic, you know, other side of that coin. Is this movie like that?
Yeah, I mean... I've only seen it once. I went to a screening they had for some of the cast members, and so it was a lot to take in because I was there and I was doing it, and I really want to see it again. But he tells, like, such a layered story about every single character, like the smallest to the biggest. Like, each person has a real journey, and that's something that so many directors fail at. Is like, and I say this as a character actress who plays a lot of smaller roles, that, like, sometimes you just show up and there's just not that much there, you know, and they're just, like, excited that you're doing it because they know you'll do something with it, and so then they don't have to. But Alexander doesn't leave any stone unturned. He, like, really focuses on every single role like it's a leading role. You feel like you're the star of the movie when you're working.
Was he able to do something with that dumpy George Clooney?
That's the only kind of...
poor disfigured bastard.
Oh, man, a lot of makeup.
Did you work with Clooney?
No makeup. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually worked with him years before, which was helpful for me. I was in Three Kings with him 100 years ago.
Oh,
and
right.
Oh, what a great movie.
I know. Like, I thought... I was so happy because when I saw him, I was like, hey, hi, how's it going? But, like, I was always so starstruck over Alexander Payne. So,
so it was like, nothing.
I was like, oh, George.
Clooney, whatever.
Out of the way, Clooney.
All right, you introduce me to Payne again?
had George Clooney gotten sweet on you, would you have left your fiancé for him if you had the opportunity? To be living in Lake Como with George Clooney?
Ugh, I hate Italy.
who doesn't really? Freaking
By
Italians.
The way, this is what's... I want to make sure I'm not the one confused, dear Judy, because although you told a fascinating story about a real estate mogul, the movie that I thought this was about was his wife is in a coma and he finds out she's cheating. She's been cheating on him and now he's got to take care of her, even though he knows she's an adulterous bitch.
I know, but everyone's going to talk about that. Yeah, same movie. Well, when I answer the question about the Descendants, yeah. I mean, I know you asked, like, what the movie was about, but the term Descendants was referring to
that. That's what it is.
That.
That's that part of the plot.
No, that's a total, I mean, like, if, yeah, that's like a not even the biggest plot. But yeah, so George Clooney's wife, she gets in this boating accident and she goes into a coma. And when he's like figuring out how he's going to deal with his two daughters and his sick wife and what he's going to do, he finds out that she's been cheating on him and he didn't know about it. And now she can't, you know, defend herself or talk about it or anything. And
that's how you get people to go to the movie, right there.
Yeah, I know. I'm the worst. God. I have a do-over. It's about real estate in Hawaii and the environment.
And what a beautiful island.
And volcanoes. Also about volcanoes.
And condos.
There's water and palm trees.
It's a documentary about construction.
Do you guys have Crocs?
Well, you've got some time to work on your pitch before you start doing most of the press.
We'll have you back in December. You can try that again.
You can try it again.
We'll give you the tape. Take it home. Listen to it. Work on it.
Transcribe it. Yeah. It'll be a do-over.
I realize what I did wrong. Thanks for feeding me that, by the way.
All right. We are completely out of time for this visit.
No.
I know. It's too sad, right? It's too sad. But either we haven't gotten the invitation to your wedding yet, but I assume we'll see you there for starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Says guy who never leaves house.
I was going to say, like, I know that you won't come there.
You can invite him. There's no problem. Yeah,
you're safe.
That'd be funny, actually. No.
Watch Judy on 2.5 Men tonight on CBS. Hear her on Archer Thursday nights on FX and The Descendants, that movie about the Hawaiian real estate boom. That opens up in December. Judy, we love you. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. Right there.
This is the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:41.
Yeah, whatever, I guess.
The will to live has left me now that
I miss Judy Greer. I miss Judy. Yeah. That's all. Things were just better when Judy was here.
I only see one way out for you.
And that's the get in my car and follow Judy wherever she's going?
Nope. Suicide.
Sweet death, I think.
Suicide, I think.
Puppy Lake.
I love her so much. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Rob is here for one more look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, how about some passes to an advanced screening of a major motion picture that lots of people have been talking about? 50-50 is the name of the film. Yay! Now, you wouldn't think that cancer would be a prime target for comedy. But Seth Rogen pulls it off. This is based on a true story that happened with him and his good friend. In fact, they co-wrote this film together. The story of Adam, a 27-year-old writer, who is diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer, and with the help of his best friend, played by Seth Rogen, manages to deal with the diagnosis and also finds out what's kind of important in life. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It's not my kind of humor.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars Seth Rogen, Anna Kendrick. This film is getting rave reviews from everyone who's seen it. And now you can see it if you're one of the lucky callers. I think we have two pairs of passes to give away. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. You'll get to go to see this movie on Thursday, September the 29th. But don't dismay if you don't win because it's in theaters everywhere on Friday the 30th. You can check that out. 50-50 looks good.
Does look good.
Sure does.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He's good at everything he does.
He's incredible. Incredible actor. Why haven't we had him on the show, by the way?
He doesn't like you.
Okay.
Yeah, he told me.
He told you personally?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. You know, he shaved his head for the film. Because, as a cancer patient, he has to go through the chemo and lose all of his hair.
Right.
And they did it at the very beginning of shooting. So he had to wear a wig for the scenes where it was flashback and beforehand, before the diagnosis and stuff. So he's a very dedicated actor. They had to shoot that head shaving sequence in pretty much one take because once it's over, can't really go back. Very interesting stuff. Lady Gaga sued a woman who was running a website called LadyGaga.org.
Was it inflammatory or
what? No, she said it was just in violation of her trademark, Gaga said. Well, that court case has just been thrown out of court. They said Gaga doesn't have a meat dress to stand on, pretty much. And
that was the ruling?
I'm not sure what exactly the ruling was. But the thing was, the site was just a tribute site to Gaga. It didn't have any sponsored links or third-party websites that were marketing anything. So the judge said, there's no reason why this woman can't run this website. You can't close her down. Usually those kinds of cases almost always go in favor of the person who is,
You think they could add
the celebrity name in that?
You think they could add fan or something, Lady Gaga fan or something?
Yeah,
make it all right.
So, congratulations to.
Hey, remember when I almost got a band that no one's ever heard of now threatened to sue me because I was running a fan site for their band, and they wanted the name back.
And you weren't running a fan
and
site.
And by running a fan site, you mean you were squatting,
you were just squatting on their name.
Well, I meant to get to it. I hadn't started the fan site yet, but that was the intention.
It didn't, and they didn't know what your intention was because you're creepy, and so they wanted their name back.
And here's what an a-hole Bean was. He had it. He wasn't doing anything with it. They asked him.
And he got it because he loved them so much.
Yeah, so they contact Bean, and they say, we would like our website. And he goes, no.
Yeah. I don't think so.
And you know why? Because they didn't contact me. They didn't contact me and ask for it. They contacted me and said they were going to sue me if I didn't relinquish it immediately, which I thought was a poor way to introduce yourselves to somebody. Would it hurt them to try it nice first? I would have been happy to give it to them.
The a-hole that has their website?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Squatting on their name and keeping them from the paltry little career that they had carved out for themselves, keeping them from potentially cashing in on that, you're sitting on it.
I meant to put up a fan site. I just didn't get to it.
Oh, man.
Just saying.
Speaking of naming things, you know they name new forms, new species of insects and animals and stuff, sometimes after celebrities?
They do?
Yeah. For example, there is a spider named Calponia Harrison 40.
Come on.
It's a spider.
It's a second grader named it that.
No, it's Calponia Harrison 40.
I don't even know what that is.
That's a spider, a brand new species of spider they found. They named after Harrison Ford.
Okay.
There's another spider recently discovered called Pachinatha Zappa. Named after Frank Zappa because the markings on the spider look like his mustache.
Okay.
So there's a new worm they found. They found a new worm.
They named it Snooki?
And they're looking for a celebrity name.
New worm.
A new worm. This worm lives near the bottom of the ocean and spends its time eating whale carcasses.
Ew.
Eating dead whales. It's a giant whale-eating worm.
Well, Dennis Rodman's,
maybe Snooki would work.
Dennis Rodman's nickname is the worm.
There you go.
For a while,
like it.
But
I like creepiest Dennis Rodmanus. Someone get on the horn to the worm naming people.
Where can you, look that up in Yellow Pages?
Yeah. Right. Wormnamers. Right. Wormnamers.com. Unless Bean has that website.
Too. Imagine how excited they're going to be when their phone rings.
Do we have, did I mention the top 10 movies of the box office yet? It is Monday. We always talk about that. Lion King 3D. Second week in re-release. Number one again at the box office. $22.1 million. Moneyball was number two in its debut.
Is it possible that more people went to see Moneyball, but it wasn't in 3D, so they didn't get that much money per ticket?
It's only $2 million difference between the two, so I guess that's possible. Dolphin Tale was number three. I'm going to give this dolphin a tail.
Ralph debuted Morgan his Freeman. Morgan Freeman impression last week. Yeah,
I
enjoyed it
so
very much.
Morgan Freeman gives a dolphin a tail.
I'll see him in anything almost.
This fish needs a tail.
Somebody tweeted over the weekend, Ralph, I liked Dolphin Tale better when it was called Soul Surfer. Because, it really is the same movie when you look at it.
No, it's not. That's a kind girl with an arm.
It's not the same.
Missing. Yeah. We had a one-armed gentleman come to the Hollywood Babylon show this weekend.
Fantastic.
Lovitz and I did.
That's great.
And he was there with some friends, and one of the friends wrote an email to us saying, could you please announce my friend Claude is in the audience, and he's got one arm, and we're trying to get him laid, so if there's any girls who are into that S, please come by and say hi.
It's okay.
Like, that's the strangest matchmaking thing I've ever done, I think.
There's got to be.
Somebody's got to be in
maybe
there,
not
right?
in a group, you know, that size, but.
So we gave it a shot. Look,
did it work?
I don't know, but from what I saw of his arm that was partially missing, it could be very useful, I think, in certain situations.
Oh, there you
with
go.
A young
All
lady.
Right.
I'm thinking if I'm a woman, I might go over and introduce myself just to see what's up.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump.
There you
MBT.
Go.
Abduction was fourth. Killer Elite came in at number five. Contagion Drive, The Help, Straw Dogs. And I don't know how she does it. Rounding out the top ten. The box office this weekend. Johnny Depp is getting back in the saddle as Tonto. Disney canceled their plans to make The Lone Ranger and Tonto into a major motion picture because
this was like 2 weeks ago.
The budget was just too high, $250 million. Well, Johnny Depp and the producer and the director came back to Disney and they sat down and they slashed the budget, slashed it from $250 million all the way down to $215 million. Would they take out the bagel budget?
It doesn't sound like. I mean, it's a lot, but. It's still $215.
It is. It's still well over $200 million to make The Lone Ranger. But Disney said, okay. They signed off, and so we will be getting The Lone Ranger and Tonto on a screen sometime near us in 2012-ish. Circle your calendar. December 2012.
December. Yeah. I'm busy.
Christina Milian is 25 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Serena Williams is 30. Jim Caviezel from The Passion of the Christ and Persons of Interest, the new series on CBS. He is 38. Linda Hamilton is 50. And Olivia Newton-John.
From Xanadu?
Mama.
This isn't her.
What are you talking about?
William Shatner. Just kill a man.
William Shatner singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Put a gun against his head.
Yeah. Sing it, Bill.
Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Oh, he's sad.
Mama.
Okay, that's all I have time for. Olivia Newton-John's 58. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody skate. All skate.
I was not aware of
it. Man, I would just... I'd skate backwards to this.
I was not aware of the plot of this movie until
it's
Ralph...
great.
Sounds like the worst movie ever made.
Greek Muse comes out of a mural at the side of a building to help a guy who paints large versions of album covers discover his true dream of building a roller disco
with the help of Gene Kelly.
That movie was never made. It was made. It's awful and I love it.
All right.
Xanadu. Or Xanadon't. It's up to you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to get your stories about embarrassing nakedness. You were naked, and something embarrassing happened, as we all seem to have those stories.
Mm.
Jay Moore, comedian Jay Moore in the studio, so everybody get plenty of sleep so we can try and keep up.
Okay.
Yeah. And Zooey Deschanel.
Come on. Come on with the come on.
On the show. She's adorable.
She is adorable.
I love that. Yeah.
We're going to have to control Bean, though.
Oh, can you imagine?
Hey. He's in love with her. And that's,
by the way,
a bad day. We had Judy Greer already to deal with.
I wasn't creepy with her.
Kat Dennings, yes.
I wasn't creepy with her.
You should have heard him with Yvonne Strahovski last week.
I got some messages on that.
DJ
yeah.
Taint was in
I wasn't
rare
creepy
form.
At all with any of the ladies today. I'm going to be right. fine with Zooey. I'm really trying hard to dial it back.
Don't be creepy.
I won't be creepy.
All right, all tomorrow morning on an all-new...